Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 145. Sorry, we were talking about Secret War and how every sentence ended with an exclamation point. I was doing a dramatic reading for everybody that Josh was really enjoying.
I thought you were just that excited about doing the podcast with the C team.
No. Now that was just a lady customer mentioned that. I don't know. You know, honestly, I was ringing somebody up, so I really wasn't sure what she was talking about with you guys. But I did hear her say C-listers. So
she was talking.
Yeah,
about
we were actually talking about.
We were talking about strippers, Colin.
Oh, okay.
The gentlemen that go for the buffet.
That's a podcast. Okay. We're canceled.
Okay, well, I missed that conversation. It sounds like I missed a lot.
Time to restart again.
No, we'll let this one roll.
Take three, and action.
We've just been canceled by iTunes.
Why?
Podcast.
lack of entertainment value?
Yes.
If you're going to keep putting your C-listers on here, we can no longer sponsor your podcast.
Yeah. Well, I thought she said something about the C-listers being here at noon.
Yeah, the strippers.
Yeah, the stripper C-listers.
Oh, got you. Okay, I thought that she was talking about the customers coming in at noon. You know. Okay, I didn't know what she... I didn't hear all the... Okay, never mind.
You fashion your customers as strippers?
No.
None of them.
No.
He actually threw up a little bit in his mouth right now.
I did not, but just a general no.
He emphatically
certain
denies
ones,
this.
Not certain emphatic. Ones are going to come in and they're going to be like, you don't find me attractive, Colin?
I could work a poll, sir.
Now we're being canceled by iTunes.
I'm so glad I'm going away for the weekend. I don't even know where to go from there. Okay. Well, there was some news. After weeks of Marvel shooting us little promo images of World War Hulk and Days of Future Now and Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies, Adam's thinking about getting a poll now. Okay. The truth comes out.
That's the title of the podcast.
I'm going to get a poll.
Adam gets a
I haven't really titled them before, but yeah, I
they
guess we could
do
that.
Titles.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm not sure how to do that, but I'll figure it out. But they finally revealed that, well, they sent a little video that I don't want to say really explained anything, but it was, it was tying into Secret Wars, something they had announced earlier that's happening this summer. And it basically just showed all the little worlds going together onto this planet, like making little continents going together. Like there was the Civil War continent landed and then all the other ones. So I'm still not exactly sure what's going on.
So it's like Battle World.
Yeah, something like that. But it's like, so Civil War is going to battle Days of Future Past, is going to battle Age of Ultron. That's, I mean, granted, you know, we know nothing. But Adam did point out he was looking in the little Secret War Halloween reprint of number one, and there was basically the exact same thing where
Bunch of like little
Little shards formed to create a planet. So
islands.
A planet is being formed near that star! Exclamation point. The only star remaining from that entire galaxy! Exclamation point.
In the reading.
Yeah, but you got to do it in the voice too.
No.
Come on.
And do the voice. And then Hulk.
But in the hacker voice? Yeah. How does a hacker talk?
Hacker. He looks like a baked potato.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. We don't know a whole lot more about it, but they did release that video. So, at least it doesn't sound like they're going to be redoing all the events again. It's just they're going to be...
They're just going to take the characters from those events. And
I guess. I don't know.
I always find it funny when we get, like, commercials from Marvel. Like, they show us, like, video of something that's never, ever going to be in video.
Yeah. Here's video of a print comic.
Here's what it's going to look like. No, that's not. It's not going to look like that ever. Well, they make a movie out of it, which could possibly happen.
Well, there are Captain America Civil War.
Coming in 2040. Secret Wars, get your tickets now.
Avengers 19.
Avengers 19.
That's horrible.
Starring a really old Robert Downey Jr.
his life model deeply.
He says he's leaving, but he's not. He's stuck here.
We have his children.
We own him now.
He's officially property of the Disney Corporation.
He probably is, yeah. I bet he signed something.
There's a mouse running the reins now.
Okay, the other big event, or big thing they had was, well, not big, but that they put out was spring this summer, or the spring this year, 2015. Everything ends with ends fading away. So,
is that the ultimate one?
We don't know. I don't know if they've said any more on it. I mean, it would make sense, but geez, how many times can they get rid of the ultimate universe? You know, we've already had Ultimatum and Cataclysm and...
But, like, Ultimate, I don't think was part of the...
Well, I'm just wondering, because this also ties in with...
Wait a second.
With the...
Everything ends.
Yeah.
And then they have this secret war with all the different...
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fight to the death.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever reality wins, becomes a new Marvel universe.
They're not going to reboot. They wouldn't stoop that low.
Here's what I'd do. If I was doing this, which I've been saying this, which it'll probably never happen because... I always say this with every event that they do. Like, a big event happens, something has to do a soft reboot. Not a hard reboot, because I didn't necessarily think they need to go the DC route. But what they could do is do something...
You mean like changing their characters? Like, making Thor a woman?
No, not at all. Not at all, at all.
Captain America.
But actually have jumping on points by now. Like, have this event, and then distribute the characters... that you have. Like, if you want to throw Ultimate characters into the main universe, if you want Miles Morales, and then start everything from there, from one point. And then it will be this, like almost like a 1 year later. Kind of like Crisis. What?
Didn't they do that with their point ones?
No.
They tried, but the point ones kind of, they lost their way.
There's a lot of things you can do with the point, Colin.
Some of the books they tried. Other books they just put the number on there and...
And then they have point twos and point threes and point fours and what's the point?
They've done a point two.
Yeah, they have. Well, we have an Avengers 34.2 coming out the same month as Avengers 40. I like that.
And they did.
The 34.1 was that Hyperion one shot.
They did it with Iron Man too. They did last year.
Well, at one point, every book got a point one, got a big number one on the front, even though it wasn't a number one
with the code for the.
Yeah, but then it was like 19.1. Yeah.
But Iron Man did it. Like, they like supplemented Armor Wars, and it was like 0.2, 0.3, 0.4, and they renumbered it back to, what was it, 235 or whatever it was.
Yeah, that was real fun to order. But
what are you trying to suggest?
No, I'm just saying it was hard to figure out how to order that.
Oh, yeah. Can understand that.
But, so yeah, we don't know a whole lot. You know, they're being very mystical right now. DC, well, you know.
Mysterious?
There you go, thank you.
Practicing magic?
I don't know what they do, man. And then DC announced Convergence. You know, I honestly forgot to look at it yesterday. It was a late email about it. But it looks like it's going to be 42-part stories, and it looks, a lot of it looks like they're going back to pre-New 52. And like somebody said, you know, they're trying to placate all those fanboys. Like, there's a Batman one that's involving Spoiler, but then I noticed like
it's
one was Flashpoint.
Yeah,
Flashpoint Aquaman shows up, and
it's
I'm like,
from all their different you know, universes.
Yeah, but there's something about a dome and
Because what the premise is that Brainiac has cities from all these different
universes.
Parts of the multiverse, and each of the cities are under the dome, so that's why when you're reading the description, it says, you know, under the dome for the, in this book is
okay.
What's going on in that contained little terrarium city.
Now, they showed us, like, a character in these that we don't know, right?
Yeah, that's Talos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's, like, a villain in this. I always thought Brainiac would be the main antagonist, but, yeah, it's...
Brainiac's become so, like, I don't want to say obscure, but... It's not as crystal clear, like, who Brainiac or what Brainiac is.
Right. I think that might be, like...
Especially in Future's End, it's like the...
It's like we're getting different Brainiacs in every story. That seems odd for DC with all their strict editorial. Well,
Future's End is making it seem like the Brainiac that we've seen previously isn't really Brainiac.
Yeah.
So.
Because, the one that we see in this Doomed story is... seems different than the one that we saw in, Action Comics at the beginning with Grant Morrison.
Well, that was 5 years ago, so maybe he's changed.
He changed his style.
Or Brainiac is Like, they're all Brainiac. Brainiac's just kind of controlling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always like the idea of the animated series Brainiac, where he was very, he was the artificial intelligence of mm-hmm. of Krypton.
Oh, I thought you meant the one where he just wanted a decent pair of pants.
He wanted pants. No, not that one.
And that's, I feel like, the way they're playing at Brainiac now, it's almost like Brainiac is Skynet.
Yeah.
So everything else is kind of like his Legion.
Which is what kind of Grant Morrison was doing with the action one. He was like, I think he pretty well stated that basically every world has their own idea of what Brainiac is. And in your world, it's called the Internet. Mm-hmm. And basically the Internet would become Brainiac.
Okay.
That's kind of what they were saying in that. And, I guess you can't take what Grant Morrison said, because sometimes they don't use Grant Morrison's things to the full extent.
Yeah.
For one, they don't understand it. And for two, they're wanting to have the basic Brainiac kind of story. Yeah. So with Doomed, I think we're getting that. In Doomed, they mentioned something. Like, he mentioned, like, not even that was me. Like, that was, like, one of my, like, robots or something like that. Not a very set in stone idea of Brainiac. And I didn't read the villain issue, so I don't know what Brainiac is in that.
Yeah, I don't read.
Yeah, I didn't read it either.
Mm. You mentioned Grant Morrison.
I think I read it, but I don't remember.
Yeah. I feel like his multiversity stuff is going to tie into this convergence somehow.
It could, because it should be done before that.
Well, and that's the last issue that is going to bring to light this.
Okay.
Multiversal threat, which that may be what leads into.
Okay. That'd be cool if they adapted that. We're, like Final Crisis kind of did and all that stuff. Yeah.
A lot of arena-based events, which I don't know how happy I am about that. That kind of, I'm just like, arena stories.
We take
Because it reminds me of Secret Wars, actually. That's why I go back and I'm
it's
like,
all
this
right,
Secret Wars.
Sparingly, but when it's done a lot, it seems kind of lazy.
Yeah.
We take two superheroes from every universe, put them in a dome. There's 12 of them, and make them fight to death. There's one winner, male and a female tribute. Oh wait, that's not. Yeah.
Did they do that any in that amalgam stuff with Marvel versus?
They didn't do it in that per se. I know they did it in Countdown. There was a Countdown arena book where it was a bunch of characters from different multiverses having to fight. That was actually kind of interesting. Not great. And very much throwaway, but it was a little bit interesting.
And tons of multiverse stories going on right now. With
between the two companies,
we got Spider-Verse happening. Yeah. Which Marvel has never really had a strong. I guess theirs is called the Omniverse. Somebody wrote that online.
Oh, that was from Captain Britain. That was Alan Moore.
Okay.
No, they used the term multiverse.
They did.
Colin mentioned that last week, which you remember you mentioned.
You said, like, DC owns it.
He said they have the licensing to it. Which I'm not sure if they do or not. Well, I figured you weren't, set in stone, probably.
But I think Spider-Man has been saying multiverse.
I think that's where I read it, because it was last week. And I think that's where it was.
They both own the rights to
superhero.
So they might both own the rights to the idea.
Yeah, it's co-trademark.
I don't know how much you can own. Like, it's a
how
multiverse.
How can you trademark superhero?
Yeah, I can't. I don't. Yeah, that's the whole thing I never got.
How can you trademark Super Bowl? Now I owe the NFL a quarter.
Now, DC has that metahumans as well. They have that. Which
Super
Marvel
Bowl,
doesn't.
I guess I could see, and I'm not defending Super Bowl being trademarked because I think it's stupid also, but like superhero, it's just taking hero, which is a normal word, and enhancing it. Like Super Bowl doesn't, I guess you could apply it to football. I mean, it's
just, what if it's unbreakable? It's a Super Bowl.
Like, if you say hero, you know what a hero is.
Napoleon Dynamite backed over it, it wouldn't
break. If you say just the word bowl, the first thing that comes to your mind is probably not going to be football. Now, football was applied to the word bowl, so that's how I think it's more of a stretch. But never mind. This has gotten sidetracked.
That's all right.
We have to solve this.
Call your wife. You're not going to be home for a while.
We've got business to settle.
But so that, it's funny reading all the...
You were a lawyer. You could talk to us about trademarks.
Right, but I don't know anything about it. I didn't take any classes in trademark law because, what sounds really exciting and interesting?
trademark law. We just made it interesting. When it involves superheroes, it's interesting now.
But a lot of retailers are gnashing their teeth over. It's kind of funny on a couple message boards. It's just, I'm going, we're going to have 2 months with no DC comics to sell. We're going to go under. And I'm sitting there going...
You retailers are always freaking out.
I'm like, it's basically Flashpoint. You know, it's
the sky is falling.
Well, now granted, Flashpoint, we still had
like a cooler jazz.
We still had all our regular books when Flashpoint was coming out, but Flashpoint sold really well for me.
Yeah.
So I'm not all that worried.
Well, they had a bunch of miniseries that came out along with it too.
Right. Well, no, there was Flashpoint, and then there were, I think there were 16 4-issue miniseries. So yeah. No, but and those did really, really well. So I'm not worried. But then again, I'm a DC store, and I know you guys are.
You know what's funny?
So.
A lot of those stores that you're saying that are complaining, they're just like, "We're going to go out of business." They probably don't sell them in
DC
because they're probably bad talking.
And one of them was
anyway.
Bad talking, and he even mentioned that he doesn't even carry World's End because he gave up on it. I'm just like,
why?
Because okay. That's a weekly
that. That's a book
that you can get people in here every week.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm like I was saying, I'm selling at least 40 copies because I'm selling out. Of that, I'm like, if I'm selling 40 a week, that's 160 a month. That's better than any book I carry.
Those are the people that run their store as a hobby and not like their livelihood.
And a lot of them said, well, I'm a Marvel store anyway, so it shouldn't hurt me. It's like, well, you just said not selling DC is going to put you out of business, but then now you're saying, I don't know.
Marvel keeps the lights on, but DC is where the profit comes from.
Ah, okay.
I just thought of something. Did you see online the they had like a cover of Batman from this Endgame, and it's the Joker
it's the
and
next
he's
issue.
Holding the face.
It's the next
yeah.
issue.
Yeah,
and I was yeah I was
it's the next issue.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was this issue,
but he has a face.
Oh, don't
yeah,
worry.
And his hair is slicked back.
Read this issue.
No, I'm saying man because next month is the
Batman's
Dust in the
awesome.
Wind month.
No, Darwin no. Cook.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Darwin Cook. Sorry. And that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I have a solution for you.
Yeah,
I know what your solution is.
That's your solution to everything.
That whole month of variant covers is so look awesome.
It was
you have a Justice League one?
Every single
is it a wraparound?
But I don't. It's like, how do I order these? I just don't know what to.
You order a
yeah,
bunch
I think they're
them.
All wrapped. Well, I do, but I'm just saying, if I normally
awesome.
If I have like 50 holds for Justice League, and I normally order 70,
order 200.
Well, no, but I'm saying so. I have to, you know, I know I'm going to order 50 of the regular cover for them, but how many?
You're thinking it's going to be so random of choosing. You can't really choose
right.
who's going to want one.
Who, right. I don't know how many to order of each, and the problem is I'm stuck with all
that,
of them.
Yeah, I mean, that is
the. So if everybody wants a Darwin Cook and I've ordered 50 of the regular.
Because he could have a book that's like, doesn't sell very well, but that cover is really cool, and that be the one that all of a sudden everybody wants.
Well, that's the problem I'm having with these Lego covers. It's like, I don't know how many people are going to want them.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's you know if it's like if it's like some
no appeal to me.
See, I like them.
But if it's like it's a
character for me.
But for me, if it's a book where I normally order just four for the shelf because it mostly just sells to people that you know hold it.
Yeah.
How many of these Legos do I order? Because if I only sold four on the shelf, I'm not going to order 10 Legos.
Yeah.
So that's where my problem is.
Well, Batgirl's a prime example. It's
well,
not a book that I'm reading. It's not a book that I like. But I like the cover.
I will say Batman. Good. That you're like highest number on. And then you know probably but as I said like
Batman
I like Justice
too.
League Justice League would be the one that I bought because I think they did a real good job. I think Teen Titans is gonna be
that was a great cover
because it's awesome. Like it's the band one, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks really cool, but I'm not too sure like if everybody will want to pick it up just because of that.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
if you'll get a lot of Teen Titans fans that are like that looks like a cool cover, you know, so I think that's gonna be a little difficult to decide what. You know, but there's some really cool ones in there. That's going to be a difficult one.
Yeah, I could definitely see with the Batman, you selling two copies to people.
Yeah.
With that.
But yeah, that Joker.
Because the Endgame covers have been great so far. Capullo's covers, but that.
Yeah.
All of his rogues on there. It looks great.
Yeah. Such a cool cover artist. Because I bought that Batman one that he did the. For the Batman variant week, he did the Justice League one for that.
Yeah.
And the space station.
Yeah.
They're in the what do they call it?
Watchtower.
Mm-hmm. And they're all running towards it with Batman in the middle. And I was like, I'm getting that one. That just looks really cool. Yeah, really cool. I gotta get that book. I don't own, I've seen the movie New Frontier, but I've never read the book.
Okay.
At all. Is that good?
It's on the shelf, yeah.
You'll buy it right now.
Nah.
We'll wait.
No, because I
got a lot of Batman to read.
Jerk.
There was something I was running to read. Somebody posted a Grant Morrison story of when he was doing Justice League, and I read. Did he do Tower of Babel? Was that Mark Waid? That might have been Wade.
He did the beginning of that.
They had something interesting. Oh, it was the Prometheus stuff, and I've never read the Prometheus storyline, which I guess that was Grant Morrison.
Okay.
That villain. And that's one thing I'd like to pick up. Because I've heard a lot of people talk about that story. Well, now what?
I don't know. Now.
Crazy stuff.
I don't know. Any other news? Oh, we can get into it. Well, no. The Mayverse. Movie news.
The Mayverse.
Maybe. Yeah. Pat, you're excited about this.
I am. I'm a huge Aunt May fan. I'm going to get a big stack of wheat cakes and wait with bated breath until this movie comes
out.
Who
doesn't like wheat cakes?
Yeah. I have never been less excited to hear about a movie, though, than, like, I don't know
wait,
who
wait,
was...
Hold on. Any movie in general, or comic book movie?
Any movie in general. Like, who was banging
on... It could still be better
Sony?
Than Elektra.
You were more excited about that Justin Bieber movie than
probably,
the Sam May announcement?
Probably.
A Justin Bieber movie?
I didn't know there was a Justin Bieber movie.
Yeah, that one was like...
Oh, yeah, he had his doctor.
Believe, the one that my daughter saw on Christmas Day.
He has...
Oh, okay.
Has
who took your daughter?
My wife.
Yeah.
She's a good
wife.
That
pretty quickly.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All these bands need their own movies now, I don't know.
Well, there was that American Idol movie.
We're in a weird Disney generation.
With Kelly Clarkson and the other guy.
That guy.
Justin. The other guy?
Oh, yeah, Justin the weird guy with the weird hair.
Yeah, Justin something or other.
I think the big question about this movie that we're wondering, an Aunt May movie, does it have Ms. Lyon?
That's what I'm with, yeah. Oh. It needs to have.
Because if it does, it has a chance, like there.
But who
I'm
wants...
trying to give it the benefit of the doubt here.
They're playing it up like it's going to be an Agent Carter sort of movie. Like Aunt May was this spy.
Sounds ridiculous.
But, okay, but think about every depiction of Aunt May ever. What makes you think she was a spy at some point?
Well, I mean, she spent those years riding around in the Firebird with Burt Reynolds. I mean...
They were trying to get beer across state lines.
Yeah. God.
They
even got an elephant across state lines.
With Dom DeLuise, too.
Dom DeLuise
across state lines.
If you can get the elephant and Dom DeLuise across state lines, then you're doing pretty good.
This conversation.
How did we get this rookie of the band?
Yeah, this conversation has totally devolved.
So it was the only interesting thing to say about Aunt May.
Yeah. We can't think of anything else interesting.
I'm sure it's more interesting than the movie will be.
Nah,
I have to say, whenever I think of Aunt May, I don't think spy. I think about pies. I don't know.
There you go.
Think about Aunt May.
Pie, not spy. That could be the tagline for the movie. Aunt May, pie, not spy.
Spy versus pie.
She had a...
I like that one, but spy versus pie.
Nick told me a while back that... And I didn't know this, but she had her own trading card when they were doing all those Marvel trading cards. And they usually put, like, stats for the characters. Mm-hmm. Well, her stats were how many pies she's made.
Shut up.
No, I'm dead serious. So I looked it up and wanted to find... I want to find this card because I didn't believe him at the time. And I was just like, I gotta find... And I looked it up on Google. Sure enough, that's her stat.
How many pies she can make.
Let's just say everything else. Her intelligence is a little up, but her strength, she can't fly.
Like she's a chalkboard in the kitchen, and she makes one.
Yeah. Pie made.
How many can she make, Adam? Don't leave us in suspense.
Oh, that I don't know. Okay. I don't remember. It was a lot. It was a lot of pies over that lifetime.
That's your trivia question for next week.
Well, it's up there. The amount of pies that Aunt May has made is up there with the amount of heart attacks and health problems she has been and how many hospital visits she's had. Because she has tons of them. In the early run of Spider-Man, she is always in the hospital. I don't think you ever see Aunt May's house.
Well,
and it's always Peter. Peter has to go get some sort of special elixir that will save Aunt May's life.
Uncle Ben probably wouldn't have lived much longer, even if not for the bullet.
I think Uncle Ben might have been the only one keeping her alive. I don't understand how.
When they buried him, she should have just climbed in with him?
Yes. She was just like, oh. Well, if she ever knew that he was Spider-Man, something. She had the weakest heart, too. That's because even Stan Lee pointed out in like all these documentaries, he always tells the same story. But he was saying like he always made it like that she had like a weak heart. And then, like, if he told her anything or done anything,
it would kill her.
Her heart would explode. and she would die. It was just like, when she, how?
I'm coming, Ben. It's the big one.
And what's funny is she's like one of the oldest living characters in Marvel Comics, and she's still alive. And for some reason, she has gotten a lot younger throughout the years.
Yeah.
And she was working, like,
if you look at it, like,
you remember when she was shot? She was shot after Civil
War.
Yeah,
after Civil War, yeah.
She was shot after Civil War. She was all faint, and she was just an old woman, and they drew her out as... And what's funny is because John Romita Jr. was drawing her, mm-hmm. and every old person that he draws looks like they're, like, a skeleton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you see her. She gets shot, and then after she gets shot and time changes and Mephisto does his thing, then she's running some homeless shelter, and she looks like the most useful person around. And I'm just like, what happened here? And the amount of... time, but
yeah, if you look at like what she looked like in the 70s and 80s versus what she looks
like she wasn't gonna
she, went, she went from Mr. Burns to a
she was just not gonna make it. I don't know. And now she's Sally Fields.
Yep.
And these are all the storylines that will be in the movie when it comes out.
And her special elixir making pies. This is gonna be a good movie.
Dating Mr. Burns. It's all good.
What's that? Ms. Lyon.
Yeah. And then...
we just wrote it for them.
Yep. We didn't do a worse job than they could have done either. The other thing was Fantastic Four.
I like how we're like, we couldn't do a worse job, but speaking of bad job, Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Victor Von Doom is now a hacker not named Victor Von Doom.
It's like some weird name.
Yeah.
Doomsevich or something?
Yeah, Doomsevich or something. Doom is... Doom is his hacker name. So speaking of Doom, that movie.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Maybe the Fantastic Four beats out Aunt May as a movie I want to see even less.
Oh, it's Marvel's flagship
title that they're canceling.
I feel like they're gonna like. Next, they're going to, like, change the title, and they're just going to be, like, try to be artistic, use different languages or something. They're just going to call it, like...
Quattro.
They'll call it Fan Quattro. Fan Quattro.
The Quick Quattro.
This sounds so bad, I just have to see it, you know, with my own eyes.
Don't be that guy, Dave.
Yeah, don't be that guy, Dave.
I have to.
That's why Fox keeps making these.
You're going to cause the sequel to this movie to be made.
I know, but geez.
Fan Quattro Dos.
Quattro Dos.
This one sounds bad.
You don't want to see Fan Quattro Dos?
It takes a special movie to make me want to watch Jessica Alba's portrayal of Sue Storm all over again.
It's Jessica Alba, though.
Yeah, okay, yeah, but even without it being Jessica Alba, I mean, it's...
Captain America was the Human Torch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing looked like, I don't know, he looked like a potato, actually.
You know what?
Mr. Potato Head.
The Thing and the Human Torch were the only two parts of the movie that I liked.
What about Reed Richards? Do you think that guy did a good job playing Reed Richards? I think he did.
He looked right.
I thought he was, I guess.
He looked okay.
Do you think he sounded right? Like, did he feel like Reed Richards to you?
No.
Did he feel like him to me?
Well, he seemed okay. Just everything else was wrong.
He didn't seem smart enough.
The movies were vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't like how they got their powers.
He felt more like Goofy, and the arguments that he had with Sue Storm were just...
Wrong franchise. Goofy. Can't
same
use that
company,
one.
Though. Oh, wait.
Got to change the name. Yeah, well, some
not,
other...
Not the same company, yeah.
Maybe now I understand why Marvel's distancing themselves from everything.
I think they're saying from us.
No.
From us, yeah. That was
no,
a long
No, see, here's the best
ago.
Part. They like my money.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Here comes that Colin guy again.
Okay.
So that all your movie news?
Yeah.
Doom, wasn't he? He was a Nip Tuck, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Guy with Dr. Doom.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, now that guy, he was okay as Dr. Doom, but he had a weird, like, ability. He was like a, he used, like...
He had, like, Electro's powers.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I didn't think he did a good, horrible job.
No.
Now that I'm thinking about it, this movie, that old movie doesn't sound that bad.
Honestly, if you...
Was done I thought they used Silver Surfer really well.
If you watch
the movie
those,
wasn't very good.
If you watch those movies, they're not terrible.
No.
And not all the... I mean... I didn't love Reed Richards. I didn't love like Sue Storms, but I mean the cast wasn't terrible either. It just wasn't as good as what was
Captain America was really good.
Yeah,
No, Human Torch and Thing were good, and
it was come at the same
My problem
time as
with
the,
Thing is the actor was way too short.
Okay, Michael Chiklis? Yeah.
Yeah, it just, Thing is supposed to be a big guy, and Chiklis isn't tall.
No,
so
okay,
just,
yeah, I can see that.
It didn't work out real well.
Well, they could have used CG for
they
that.
Could have,
like the Hulk,
but they didn't.
But they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't.
What was the story, basically?
And not CG,
that?
But just shoot him at an angle. You know, just
make him look
yeah,
taller.
Make him
yeah.
look bigger.
Give
There's
Tom
a way to
effect.
Do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the plot of that movie was. I remember,
I mean,
the like, Doom was trying to do something.
First one was just an origin.
Yeah, it was just an origin story. It was a straight origin story.
He was after... Oh, he was after Sue for some reason.
Yeah, they were, like, dating, and that was his fiancée.
He was after Land.
Or,
oh, wait, no.
And then he gets, like... I always like the ending of that movie where it's in the city. And they go... Human Torch goes around him, and he tells him to go supernova, and then
she puts the shield over him, yeah.
And it, like, stops him... Which he should have just been obliterated, I think, inside of his suit. But
yeah,
whatever.
You would think.
Oh, no, he had metal skin. That's what they did. Underneath, he had metal, like a metal skeleton.
Right.
And
then he super cooled him.
He did, but it was coming off. Remember, he was
oh,
in a
yeah.
mirror,
yeah.
and it, he had, like,
really?
His cheekbones
his
would
hand.
Have, like,
I'm
metal.
I'm thinking, like, the second one where he was
Then he's
the...
healed. Yeah. That's why I didn't like the second one, because all of a sudden, things didn't make any sense. Like, the second one, he was healed, From that, he showed up out of nowhere, for one. They go back to Latveria, and Silver Surfer, he tries to steal his board or something.
He tries
steal
to
steal his cosmic power.
Yeah.
But he's helping out the government. Somehow he's like
Yeah,
and
then he gets
us
just like, why don't
military?
You hire Doom? And yeah. you just banished him from your country to his old country. And
well, yeah, but even there, I mean, okay.
And the Galactus,
he
that was,
was,
the
yeah,
the
Galactus was a big problem. But Doom really didn't do anything. Other, like he was being a, you know, he was doing stuff to the Fantastic Four, but he really hadn't done anything evil to that point.
Yeah,
and so the government probably still would have worked with him.
He did a few evil things in that first movie. He blasted a hole through a guy. That's pretty cool, though.
The first movie they played him up as almost like, you know, psychologically he was degrading.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
he
I mean,
fired
he,
them.
You got the feeling that he was sleazy in the beginning, but
mm-hmm. yeah, he lost
like,
his company.
Yeah, he wasn't just outright evil at first.
Yeah, he didn't go super villain in that movie to where they would have said, no, we can't work with,
right.
with Doom.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think that's part of the fun of Dr. Doom is that he is, you know, a leader of a country. You know, there are no rules.
Diplomatic
for Doom.
Immunity. Sorry,
yeah, there's just no.
In the Ultimate Universe, I was kind of somewhat
he Goat
like
Boy
that.
Or something.
He was Victor Van Damme.
And
does he
awesome
like,
moves, man.
Yeah, he has like a split with the punch, and
or maybe it was Dame or something. I don't remember.
Time Cop.
But he was basically going to school. He was whatever he was with Latveria. But he was going to like this special genius school that was run by Sue Storm's father, and they were building some sort of it dealt with like the negative zone that Reed was trying to build this thing, and he figured out a way through the another dimension, which would be the negative zone, and by doing that, that's what caused the powers, the machine malfunctions, and it teleports Doom like away. He just is gone. And then he comes back later on. But I always kind of liked the idea of the Ultimate one. It didn't have a bad... And then Ultimatum, they killed him. Like everything in the Ultimate Universe. They just killed him. Thing comes in, crushes his head. So...
Going, why didn't I do this years ago? What? One thing... Like, that's...
I just crushed it?
That's one of the neat things I like about Doom in the regular universe is the fact that he's a man of science, but with his mom being a gypsy, he also has this magic stuff. There's just...
Which they didn't do.
There's a whole lot.
There's a lot of layers.
When did they start doing the magic more? Was it Wade's run? Because Wade, he became... That's when they were doing the... he went to go check, look in to figure things out about his mother and stuff like that, and he changes his suit. Instead of the metal, it's leather, and he wears a leather mask. And he becomes weird. Using... It was one of my favorite runs. Mark Waid's run of Fantastic Four
was really good.
Yeah. They had this... Basically, it was his revenge to Reed Richards. He kidnaps one of the kids. He possesses one of the kids, I remember, somehow. The daughter, I forget her name.
Valerie?
Yeah.
Valeria.
Yeah.
And he takes Franklin... And throws him into hell. And I was just like, that is like a really morbid thing. But it's very dark, like, but it's Doom. Like, you think, okay, that makes sense. But really, it screws up Franklin. It does all this stuff. And his run was really good. They had this one thing where he was he had to go to heaven.
He went to heaven and they met Jack Kirby.
Yeah. And Jack Kirby was God.
Yeah.
And it was a really good
scoot
good
over here. I hit by lightning.
It's Jack Kirby, man.
Jack Kirby's God.
Small g. Wow.
But no, I highly recommend Mark Waid's run of Fantastic Four if you want a good Fantastic Four story.
And available right now.
Yeah. No, it's out of print, isn't it?
No, it's not.
I thought the first... I don't think you have the first.
I think I have.
Okay. You probably have it in issues, probably. But it was really good. I think Straczynski took over after that or somebody. And then it went into X-Men. Then it went... I liked the Spider-Man run. I really did like
Straczynski. Yeah, I've been Dwayne McDuffie after Waid for a little bit. But
might have been.
I can't remember.
Is that a new announcement?
It's the top one.
What? What are you so excited about?
It says boxing glove arrow.
Oh.
On arrow. That means he used a boxing glove arrow. Yeah. That's right. Awesome.
Sweet.
Oh.
Or maybe okay. He...
He didn't... Well, boxing glove, hashtag arrow?
That's a good segue to TV shows.
No, wait. No, keep going, Adam. Okay.
No. La, 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 la.
No. So, TV. We've on a previous podcast, we've spent way too long talking about TV shows. And we don't need to go into everything on them, but I have to say the full slate right now is really
it's
kicking
pretty
butt.
Solid.
And just like in comparison, like we're trying to watch CSI. We were real big CSI fans. I was getting all the seasons from the library. Just I think it was, if not last summer, if not last summer, the summer before, it was like there was nothing on TV. So I'd go to the library and I got like season one, and we sat. And when there was nothing else on, we'd watch a couple episodes, and we ended up going all the way through.
And like all the different versions of it?
Yeah. And I think we stopped at Lawrence Fishburne, but I think we'd seen most of those, and it was one of those.
I really
liked
the first few seasons of that show.
It used to be really, really good. And then like I watch one now, and it's like, you couldn't even...
Commercials I've seen with Ted Danson.
Yeah. I like Ted Danson. He himself is not bad, but the writing is just really poor, where it gets super overly complicated. Like there was this one either last year or the year before where like these guys out in the woods and all of a sudden they stumble into this like bunker, like somebody has built, you know, a bunker, a survivalist bunker out there. And then one of them's killed. And then, so it goes on in the mystery and then it ends up that the guy's wife was daughter was kidnapped and wife was murdered. And it got so complicated that he killed this kid because this kid was actually the son of the person that kidnapped the daughter. It was just, whoa. You couldn't, there was no way to figure it out. And so I'm doing that, and then I'm watching these, and these are just kicking butt. Like, I might watch CSI if I get around to it, if I think about it. But these shows are just been solid storylines.
Why watch CSI when you got Gotham?
Right, well, Gotham has been
combines
really good.
Combines two of your favorite things.
And it's starting to do what I like about Gotham and what Arrow has always done. It's the little throwaway things.
Yeah.
Like in this last episode of Gotham, Bruce goes to school and gets in a fight with a guy named Tommy. And then it turns out that is Tommy. But you haven't seen it?
No.
Well, it's not going to give it away.
Oh.
So, and then it turns out that it's Tommy Elliot, who later becomes Hush. But so they've set a seed. Is he going to become Hush? Not for years. But there's a little throwaway to the fans.
Yeah.
To everybody else, it doesn't matter. The kid's name is Tommy Elliot. Who cares? It's a kid that was picking on Bruce. He took care of it.
And as soon as he said, "Hi, Tommy," I looked at my wife. I said, "That's Hush."
Yeah.
I looked for Tommy. Like, Tommy Elliot.
I wish that the actor that they got to play that character though looked a little
more like
younger too.
Yeah.
He was a little older, and I wasn't too fond of that. Like I was just like, if they were both around the same age, I could get that a little.
But and it's getting there, and I see why they're doing so much Bruce now, and I'm okay with that.
This week did Bruce proper.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't just Bruce, idiot savant.
There was a reason for Bruce to be there. Yeah. Like, they gave him
something. I'll keep trying to solve your mom's your parents' murder.
We
get it.
And Bruce together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then taking him out of the house. You know, he's never out of that house. He's always sitting in front of a cork board.
And it was funny. Somebody I was talking to, and they had a problem with Selena and the way they were using Selena and stuff. I said, and how she just randomly pops up. I'm like, no, here's what they're doing with Selena. They're showing Selena's is going to be Bruce's only real friend.
Yeah.
They're going to meet and have a relationship that no one else knows about.
Mm-hmm.
But she also has a relationship with Gordon. So when she does get in trouble, she's got somebody kind of looking out for her. So it's being to show the thief, not with a heart of gold, but the thief that's not really evil.
Yeah. She's stealing because she has to, not because she wants
right.
to. Yeah.
But so I like how they're just dribbling that in, where she's not a major character, but she's there.
What's the problem with Selena, though, is that they one minute play her up to be, you know, really good at what she's doing, and the next minute she does something really stupid, like, it's the middle of the day, and I'm going to come out of this.
She comes out of nowhere, out of the basement of the grate.
In the sidewalk with a bunch of fur coats.
I really liked Riddler in this episode.
Yes, because it definitely shows he's not appreciated.
Yeah.
And he knows what he's doing, and it's going to get to the point where, oh, well, let me start doing my own crimes and see if you guys can solve
it. And he's a little nutty.
And I can definitely see where they're going with this without forcing it.
He enjoys it too much.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the few episodes back when he reorganized the file room and
with
the
Kristen
girl that
Kringle.
She likes, yeah. And I was just like, okay, I get it. But this whole, when he was doing the autopsy and he figures something out that he doesn't know. And
All the things he was saying at the beginning were, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah.
I had this for lunch and it's blah,
what,
blah.
What do these things have in common? And he's like, absolutely nothing. And he's just like, what kind of riddle is this? None of them have anything in common.
But I'm really liking the Penguin story.
Oh, Penguin story.
That has been really, really good.
It's like that's what they put so much work into, too. Mm-hmm.
It's more the Penguin show
power
at this point.
Yeah. Right now, yeah. So. Well, no, but you also got it's the introduction of Gordon, the establishment of the relationship with Harvey Bullock, almost the turning
the more,
of Harvey, but
the more engaging part
of
the Penguin.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so they're getting all these things, I don't want to say
Bullock
out of the way. But
coming, is finally starting to see his side a little bit.
Yeah.
And then now I'm happy that thing's over with Montoya and what's his name?
Yeah.
Alvarez.
They were just like, oh, Gordon, you're up to something. You know, it's just like, okay, that's not. Because
now what's going on with Barbara, where she walked out? And at that point, I was kind of happy.
Yeah.
She had just gotten to be annoying.
Yeah, I don't like that character.
She's always in the house, too.
So yeah, and somebody mentioned, is she a ghost? That's not actually there, you know, and just, you know, but she's not, but right.
Yeah.
She's not, but
well, Montoya
I thought it was an interesting, I thought it was an interesting point though. Cause it's, I can all,
and then she's afraid that didn't make any sense. Though. She's afraid of Zaz showing up, but then she puts herself in harm's way in the last episode where she came back and tried to like bargain with
Falcone.
Falcone.
Yeah.
And it was just like, why? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, okay, you're good in this way, but you're not with this? Like, it just really threw me for a loop. The whole black mask stuff, that was, it was good. I liked what they did with the character. I didn't like the mask.
Yeah.
It was a little too, like, Asian.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was, like, very much
imperial,
like, Chinese.
Japan-like.
Yeah.
And I was not a fan of that. Like, I was just like, that didn't remind me. At first, I was just like, what is this? Like, some sort of, like, there was a character.
That's kind of like
Batman.
The Brother Blood mask is kind of, you know.
Well, there was a character in Batman. I know they used it not too long ago before New 52, where it was, like, a guy who wore a mask, like, that looked just like that. And it wasn't Black Mask. When I expect Black Mask, I expect the skull.
Yeah.
I think,
like, that's what I just expect.
I can't remember his name, but I think the name they gave that guy in the show is Black Mask's dad's name?
It's Sionis, which is Black Mask. Sionis.
But his name
wasn't
like
Richard. It's Roman, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
They called him Richard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. But I think there is a Richard who is related to the comic Black Mask.
Okay, so see, it could be. It could might not even be the Sionis that we know.
Yeah, it could be.
I've always been a fan of that run. I really liked War Games. I thought that was a really good story. That little era of Batman was really interesting, with the Black Mask taking over crime.
I didn't read it.
Yeah, War Games, it's a little bit to invest into time-wise because it's like basically you have to read four issues. It's spoiler is Robin. That's when Tim quits or something like that. I don't know. But it's just, it's four issues. It's like War Games. It's the three parts. Then there's a War Drums.
Four trades, not four issues.
Yeah.
Most people could read four issues. That's not a real big investment.
That's a huge investment.
Oh, man, you don't have time to read four issues.
I think there's another one, but I don't think you have to read it. It's War Crimes, I think it's called. But it's different. It's really fun. I always liked it in particular because there is a part where Batman, it's basically about a gang war where somebody sets up a gang war in Gotham. And it actually, there's so much going on in Gotham because of this crime war, this gang war, that Batman actually has to come out in the day at one point. And I was like, that's kind of neat because it's something he never does.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's this scene where basically I remember, like, because not a lot of people, even in that time of Batman, while you're reading it, like the people, he was still more of an urban legend.
Yeah.
So when he comes out of like the school at a daytime, he's walking out and they said the news is there and everything, and he's like, he's real. And I was just like, that's kind of neat, because I was just like,
yeah,
he's always known as an urban legend. They're like, he's actually real, like he's there. And really cool story, really cool. There's some important Batman parts in that story.
You check it out.
Yeah.
Black so Mask. Gotham's been good. Flash has been really good. I liked what they did with Plastique in this episode. Just neat.
Does he seem to give away his secret identity a little more than he probably
should?
He
takes off his
mask.
Well, in that one, he had to take off his clothes.
He had
so.
To.
No, in the beginning he did, but at the end, was dying and the general's right there, he takes off his, his mask.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
He always does it. When he has to talk to someone, he takes it off.
That's Tobey Maguire syndrome.
Yeah.
And then he brings this character back to his secret, like, hideout.
Tobey Maguire gets a bad rap. He only took his mask off, like, once.
One time it was deteriorated so bad he had to.
Yeah.
Pumpkin bomb.
But, and then the little end scene where it...
Oh, I geeked out when...
Talking about Grodd. Because we'd seen Grodd in the... pilot, or not the... We saw the cage and the name.
Yeah.
This time you didn't really see Grodd, but he was talking to Grodd.
Well, you
know what Grodd
did.
is.
You did, like, and he was in shadow.
Right.
But... You know, he talks about the general, what he was doing was inhumane, and, you know, at the end, you just saw the cage as they were arguing. I'm like, they're talking about Grodd. That's great, you know, and then, you know, you see him. But the interaction that Wells has with Grodd when it's, oh, I got more important things for you or something to that effect, like, he's straight up turning super, if he's not Reverse Flash, I don't know who else he can be at this point.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. Because I keep wondering. I keep wondering if there's more to it. Like, it seems too obvious. Like, they put it out there too quick.
Yeah.
And
it's not even too quick. I mean, it's too quick for us, but not necessarily too quick
for
everyone
else. I mean, they kind of, at the end, though, you saw the yellow bar, remember? Yeah. And it's like, well, he's the guy who's supposed to kill his mother. That's why it's...
I think if he was going to be Reverse Flash, they would have... shown he was up to something else in the first episode.
I have this feeling that he's like something else and he's there to prevent like a time problem, but he has to do it like some like at any cost necessary.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I think
like,
here's the good
thing,
we don't know. You know, so there's that mystery. It's not like, oh, I know where this is going.
That's
well,
the whole thing.
I might know
it
where
might,
it's going, but I'm not sure.
But that's kind of the whole thing. I really don't think it's as obvious as like we think.
Mm-hmm. What's even when he tells, like, you know, he told Plastique to go kill the general.
Yeah.
He also then sent Barry after her. It's like he's almost setting it up so the challenges are getting greater and greater for Barry, so his legend grows.
Yeah.
And that's why I think he is a Reverse Flash, is because if he defeats him before he becomes the Flash, no big deal. But if he defeats him as he's the Flash... Now I've knocked him off the mountain.
I don't know. I think there's more.
Why
to
does
than
he
that.
Want him to become Flash though?
Because if he's
that's what I don't. Really
if he just defeats
like
Barry
Flash
Allen and no one knows who Barry
well,
Allen
well, doesn't the one from the future? He stole something from Flash's costume, like in a museum, and recreated something. But to the experiment, it became yellow and red. You know, it became the opposite colors. So maybe he needs Flash to exist, to have the museum, to have all that stuff.
To actually,
could be.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, that's good on them that I don't know. So I'm guessing.
I just don't feel like it's as obvious. So, I don't know.
I haven't finished S.H.I.E.L.D., but I saw some stuff online talking about it, and it looks like they're going to introduce the Inhumans in S.H.I.E.L.D. before it gets to the movies.
Okay.
So that could
be
work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's a little bigger of a thing.
And like I was saying, and I've been saying, this season's so much better because they've added more characters and they have a big bad. And that was something that was sorely lacking in season one.
Ward shaved his beard.
Oh, did he? Okay, I didn't see that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I only saw the beginning.
Well,
he's good now? The last I saw, he had the plastic and he had the beard and he was walking. They were trying to catch him and they couldn't.
He meets with basically his Hydra handler, and he turns him over to S.H.I.E.L.D. Like he tapes up his mouth, writes on there for Coulson, and then the next scene that you see him, he's in a hotel room and he shaves his beard off, and then he calls the guy's cell phone and Sky answers, mm-hmm. and she answers the phone, "Hail Hydra."
She did?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It was done as a joke. Like, she knew,
okay, she knew it was him.
Well, she knew it was somebody calling the head of Hydra. Now, he mentions Strucker by name, too, which was also kind of nice.
That's cool.
If you don't know who it is, it doesn't matter. But if you do know who it is,
it needs some of those little threads. Yeah. That's what Colin was saying. These shows need some, throws to the comic book fans.
Yeah.
I'm glad they started to give some resolution to the whole, carvings and the visions of those, because I was worried they were going to drag that out the whole season of them trying to figure out.
Oh, they did give some resolution to that? Okay. Yeah. I guess I better finish watching this one. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, I can't do that. No.
It might be at, well, and then, basically it's a city, mm-hmm. so that might be Atalan.
That's what I saw somebody posted online.
Okay.
That would be kind of a cool direction. That's it.
Yeah, that
seems
would
really weird, though, without Fantastic Four and humans showing up. I don't know, just one of those things. As a comic book fan, it's like, But see what they can do.
I mean, it seems to be working in the show. I mean, overall, I feel like Marvel's really trying to force this Inhumans thing, but in the context of the show itself, so far things have played out pretty naturally.
Yeah, they have to do something, though. That's the whole thing with this Inhumans.
That was a cool idea last night about how all the people who have the alien blood in them were searching for this place and going crazy because of it, because they couldn't find it.
Except for Sky.
Yeah.
Except for Sky.
She's a mutant. Oh, wait. No,
she's a something.
She's a miracle.
No, she's going to be an Inhuman. She's going to be Medusa.
Well, I wonder what's...
Or, she turned into Lockjaw. That'd be awesome.
There we go.
Sky is Lockjaw.
They don't need the bus anymore. She just... transport somewhere ever.
And she still has the eyes, but then, the big jowl. Maybe the mustache.
That'd be good.
She already has a mustache.
And then Walking Dead. I got caught up on Walking Dead. My one complaint, I did post a picture of it on Facebook, was that trying to watch that during the day is redonkulous.
Somebody did point out something to you, though, about that.
What?
About how your living room has, ginormous windows.
Well, it does, but still, if there's color, you don't see any glare on the screen. But there was a scene 2 weeks ago, or no, it was last week, where they're at a campfire and they're all talking.
Yeah.
And nothing's going on, but it is literally pitch black. And I took a picture of my screen.
And you can't see it?
I actually paused it and started it again so that the little... along the bottom to show how far you are in the show and stuff, could show, and you can see that perfectly, and everything else was just pitch black. And I'm like, what's the point of this?
Yeah, first world problems.
No, you're right. No.
Well, these giant windows in my living room are too much sunlight.
Well, no,
I bought an 84-inch screen TV so I can see it.
No, but it's just a point of, it was a good 10 minutes of solid black, if not longer. And another guy did post. He's like, he had to turn off his living room light to be able to see it when he was watching.
They could expect that somebody's going to be watching that in the day.
Well, just if they're sitting around talking, it didn't need to be pitch black. There can be some lighting.
But a lot of movies and TV are doing that now. Like, we watched Godzilla the other day.
If there's a need for the dark, it was during the day. Okay.
And that's, and I'm like, I cannot see this movie. And, we had to close the shades in the living room. Yeah. I'm like, I can't see anything. Yeah. Like, I know stuff's going on. I know my TV's on, but...
Right, but people have had TVs and light for a long time. And it's a TV show. It's not a movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. They've had blinds for a long time, too.
Blinds would help. Blinds would not help.
They've had tons of furniture blinds.
I don't think this is
maybe
a problem.
In your fancy house, we have newspaper.
That's my only problem. And I got very confused. I got very confused because I watched them all together, and the one where Daryl comes out of the woods and calls somebody out, I assumed it was Carol, and I thought he said, come on out, Carol.
He said, come on out.
So then when we got to the next episode and all of a sudden Carol's at the end of that, I'm like, well, wait a minute. How the hell is that going to work?
It's all skipping around.
Could be a time jump, you know. That's...
What is Carol doing?
And here's my one problem with the, what's the blonde girl's name?
Beth
episode is She's at the boring. End. Well, yeah, but so she sets the zombies loose inside the hospital. The one was a zombie and she was biting the other guy. She's there as they're getting ready to go down the escalator. You're hearing screaming in the hallway,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't from the guy anymore, so it was someone else. They get out, they run outside, and one of the police officers tackles her and arrests her while there's a zombie attack. With all this stuff going on inside, he had time to run outside to get her.
Well,
I didn't get
it was
that.
But it was only two zombies.
Yeah. Well, one.
There were those other ones, but it's like that's just an odd time to put somebody out in handcuffed when there are still zombies around.
Well, no, because it was the one zombie killed the one cop. The other cop came in, got killed as well. That's what the screaming was. But I think they took care of that one zombie. Then they realized, oh, they're gone.
Okay, it happened very fast. I'm just like, I think that person would be dealing with some other problems besides catching.
See,
the
I don't think it was
away.
Very fast because I think the kid from Everybody Hates Chris took a month of Sundays to get down that.
Well,
elevator
that could be
shaft.
That could be true, but it just seemed odd that they'd then
His
be
leg
outside.
Was messed up, man. Don't
well, it got messed up when he came down.
I mean,
and
he
that
messed
was
up before that. He had like the giant scar on his leg.
The kid Everybody Hates Chris.
Yeah, that's who he played Chris Rock in Everybody Hates Chris.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
So he's in the show? It's funny because the kid who played his friend was in that show was in the prison, the one who got sick first.
Okay.
Caused the whole outbreak.
Yeah, Patrick.
Oh, that kid.
Yeah. That was his friend in the his best friend in that show. That's
crazy.
Now we just need Terry Crews to show up.
That would be awesome. Like just like in Expendables, he has like this huge gun. Just taking out zombies.
He should be Luke Cage when they do the Luke Cage show. Mm-hmm. He's built for it. Yeah.
He can be it.
And then the only other show is Constantine. I didn't like the last episode as much.
I didn't hate it.
It had some things I didn't like where the bad guy puts him in a situation and then gives him the way out of the situation. It was like a Batman 66 episode.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I've stuck you with the poison, and here's the antidote, if you can reach it.
And then he leaves.
And then you're just kind of like, what?
You said, wait, it's Papa Midnight, not Dr. Evil.
I didn't like that. And my other question about it was, the girl got possessed listening to the record, and then you never saw her again. You never saw what happened to her. It just she was forgotten.
It
and I'm just like
that, being that everybody else who listened to that record immediately died.
Yeah,
the little girl was perfect. She just shook it off. She was like, "Oh, demons go away." And
it didn't.
Flew
it didn't
off.
Get to the part. They stopped the record when it was still playing music before.
Well, but her eyes were all.
Yeah, her eyes
were
all red.
Starting to get there. But I'm saying,
okay, but it was just like she was forgotten after that. That part.
Maybe she died and they just didn't want to show.
So those were kind of the two things I didn't like. The things I did like in putting on the Sex Pistols to block out the sound I thought was great because he was in the punk band. And
I thought the idea of
there was a lot I liked, but just a couple of those things. And also, I really totally expected in a total. Old school EC comic type of way where when they burned up the contract and then so his cancer was going to come back, that it would automatically be 5 years later worth of cancer and he would have shriveled away and died.
Okay.
I thought that would have been really fitting as opposed to, we'll get you medical treatment and stuff. It's like, well, no.
It'll be okay.
I that's what I expected to happen and it didn't and I was just kind of like,
then why didn't you reject this contract a long time ago? Why didn't you feed it to him? I like how they fed it to him.
Well, that's where the contract comes from.
Kyle made an interesting comment when he came in. He said it was weird because it felt almost like part of an anthology about tales of this mysterious record, and this one just happened to involve Constantine as opposed to being a Constantine-ish episode where this was just a little part of it. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
I didn't like the part where at the end where it opens up like a hole in the ground. First of all, they went up two floors.
Oh, okay.
Remember, he climbed upstairs?
Yeah, that was kind of stupid.
And second, okay, so now we have, like, this opening to hell in this record station?
And the crashing the car into thing.
Do we need a lot of, like, are they
going
to have to fill that? That just didn't make any sense.
Yeah. Throw some gravel in there. That's a hellhole.
Yeah. Like, if there was, like, some sort of portal or something that opened up and then it disappeared, I would have been... But being that there's this hole there forever... You know,
people come crawling out of like, it's up here.
It's up there.
You know,
that's
hell. Dirt we're going to need to fill that in.
But other than that, I think it's the show is good.
You get a problem
it's
getting
there. And this one, well, his hair just needs to be blonde, not tips. That's all. They just need to commit. Not that he needs to be dark, dark blonde, but there's some close up shots where you can, it's just clear. But, and this one's a little, also a little too Doctor Who-y. Where they, now,
there's a lot of Doctor Who-y,
isn't there? That house, I'm assuming, is like the House of Mystery.
Where
they open a door, and you know, obviously it's bigger than
it
should be.
It was very much the TARDIS.
Yeah, so it was very much bigger on its inside, and then he had the magical paper that's, or the card that says whatever.
Yeah.
And Doctor Who has a piece of paper like that that does the same thing.
Okay.
So it's just
kind of. He explained it like Doctor Who.
Yeah.
It was just like, it's bigger on the inside. And
yeah, so it just, it was kind of.
What it wants to show you.
But other than that, he just needs to start getting a little dirtier and grimier. But other than that,
I thought the nails were kind of an interesting idea that he was using.
He could track them
in the bag, and there's a lot of stuff, and the nails were like a homing device. But I guess he's lost that. He lost the card.
Yeah, he gave the card to.
Yeah, he lost the card, and then he used up the Hand of Glory, which seemed a little waste. But it was interesting how all the bodies started.
Yeah.
That was kind of creepy and cool. I like that.
But there's good points to it. I mean, it really is, I think. But
I think all the shows right now are doing well. Yeah. So
I think I brought my wife in to get the Hellblazer
books. Yeah, let me know how she likes it, because that was good. I like that a lot. And it's funny. I read that, and then I went back and read the Swamp Thing, because the first issue itself refers back to a Swamp Thing event, which took place during Crisis on Infinite Earths in Swamp Thing. And then when you go back and read it, it makes so much sense. When you're reading Hellblazer, you're just kind of like, okay, it was just like a little throwaway thing you don't think a whole lot about. But when you go and read the Swamp Thing part of it,
it makes more sense.
It's so full knowing after you know John after and then reading it then.
Okay.
It's good. Just good. It's reading it backwards, but sometimes reading things backwards works. But I can only vouch because that's how I read it. That's like I read Authority before I read the Stormwatch stuff that preceded it. So that's how I recommend people do it, even though it's backwards. Okay, that's enough TV, enough movie talk, Adam.
It's my idea.
Yeah.
So, last week's books. Josh, you never start. We'll start with Josh. Oh, pressure.
All right. Well,
do you have your list? Oh, that's the Hulk.
Let me bring it up.
It's not close.
Okay. He's all high tech now.
I'm sorry.
Pat,
I know.
You lose.
I don't want Pat to start.
Yeah.
Using paper.
I'm not as high tech as Josh.
You're using your brain. You're just trying to remember. So,
I'm pretty sure it's like.
Yeah. Why are you squinting so hard? There's smoke coming out of your ear.
Sorry, everybody.
Clue.
I don't hate Marvel.
Clue?
Clue.
Oh, Colin will get the clue.
I'll get the clue.
Swamp Thing?
No, I did. I read it. Yeah, I read that in the annual. I don't know if they came out the same day.
No, the annual came out last week, I think.
The annual was out of place. It came out of nowhere. That was the what's her name that
yeah that the Capucine
yeah
her story,
and then she's just like, guess what guys, I'm dying.
Is that Abby on the front of the new Swamp Thing?
Yeah.
She's back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
She's still been around. She's the avatar for the Rot.
Yeah,
currently.
Yeah,
right. But then at some point they weren't allowed to see each other again or something.
Well, they weren't allowed to be together because they can't touch each other.
Oh,
and then 5 years later she was in it, right?
Yeah, because then Anton's back.
Yeah,
5 years.
Which
later.
They bring up in this. In
they
that
do
issue, that she is. That he's like, hey, by the way, I think he's escaped.
Yeah, which you saw that in the villains issue.
Yeah. Was really cool when the kid takes the bite out of
the apple. Yeah,
and they're like, oh, it's rotten, and there's just an eyeball in the arcane. Yeah, it was really cool.
The annual. I mean, that was last week, but. It finally tied up, because you saw in the beginning of whenever Capucine, I think it's how you say her name, came into the book, she talked about how, you know, she was almost
they made a deal with the Intragon, I think is what they were saying, and she's been able to live exactly 1,000 years, but it turned out in this issue, 1,000 years finally came up, and I was like, that's out of nowhere,
sudden.
And so in order to he had this. He didn't want to save her. He wanted to save her soul, basically.
She wanted to be able to confront the demon. So he used the I can't remember the guy's name that was able to transfer the.
The guy from the Serene.
Yeah, the Serene. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
So she takes over Swamp Thing's body, so that way she can fight the demon.
Yeah. But and then otherwise, I guess Entragon would take her back, body back. I guess the hell
and
or something like that. Wherever Entragon
use her body somehow, or her body would become like in servitude to him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And but
cool it.
Yeah.
Insane.
Dirty. Okay. But he, that whole issue was interesting. Then he also Swamp Thing takes her and puts her into the green.
Yeah, so you're seeing...
So she can at least live in the green.
Yes, you're seeing now how he's kind of seeing that he may have been a bit arrogant and how he,
handled with the green.
Got rid of everyone in the green parliament, and the parliament and sealed it off. So now he's building back.
He's building, it's almost like he's building a new parliament.
He is, with, people that are on his team, his brother Jonah.
Jonah had his relationship with her anyways.
Yeah, whenever he was the Avatar, they sort of...
Yeah, and that's when he died.
Yeah.
It was really poor guy. Then he got finished. But... but he... Yeah. But, it was interesting, just kind of out of place, out of nowhere. Yeah. Not out of place, but it came out of nowhere that she was dying.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere that she died, but I thought it was a good... annual. I mean,
yeah, it was a decent. I wouldn't play it down as a bad annual. It's just, just out of nowhere. But the issue.
I was wondering, and maybe I kind of forgot before that annual, because they did address, they did mention that she was close to dying. That's why she came to see him in the first place.
Yeah.
But then it was kind of just forgotten about.
We thought they would. I thought they would gradually bring us to the point. Yeah. All of a sudden, it was the exact day. It's by the way, Swamp Thing, I'm dying today. It's just like. Wow, tell him, break the news to him a little quicker, won't you? Give him some time to think it out. He could have had a better plan for you, Prepare for Entragon, No, he just shows up out of nowhere.
I'm dying in this
demon's
coming.
Well, it was funny, because at the beginning of the issue, there's demons attacking him. He's like, what's going on? This has never happened before.
She's like, they're here for me.
And they're like, they're here for me. He's like, oh, well, thanks for telling me before I died.
Yeah.
I was killed by demons, but...
And then this week's issue... ties back in with the arc that's been going on with the Machine Kingdom coming to power.
Yeah.
So, the Machine Kingdom currently doesn't have an avatar because they feel that an avatar isn't very efficient. So, they have their parliament, I guess, which is Calculus A, B, C, and then there's Master Calculus also. And they just kind of sent a representative to try and, bargain with Swamp Thing, but whenever he didn't give in, then they thought they could just eliminate the green in one fell swoop. But you see how he kind of shows
Swamp Thing smash.
Yeah, how powerful he actually is. So now they're looking
still
at possibly
Swamp Thing fly. That's good. I like that.
Oh, with the big wings.
The wings. I thought that was cool.
I have that.
Even though he doesn't really need wings, maybe for battle he needs wings.
He looks pretty badass.
But he
can
go through the green on his own.
Yeah.
I did. Oh, I don't want to go back to the annual real quick. When he's telling her the story, and he's like, "I wanted to go see a movie," and he finds popcorn, and he's like this corn cob with a Swamp Thing head. He's sitting there watching the movie,
the chair watching the movie,
and then somebody's like, "Oh my god, what is that?" And he makes a run for it.
Yeah,
I was like, "That's awesome." But
the panel of him running out of the movie theater.
Yeah, he's running out of there as the corn cob. And it's like the I don't know what they call it, the covering of the corn.
The husk.
The husk.
Yeah.
The husk was the arms and the legs. Yeah. And he's running on that, trying to escape. He never got to see the movie, and then they're like, oh, the movie sucked anyways or something. I don't know.
Interesting. I wouldn't have expected that.
No, I guess they're getting ready to lose a Martin. Sorry. Next. Sorry.
Yeah, so... Oh, the last thing, though, with Swamp Thing. So the Machine Kingdom decides they want to get an avatar, and it ties back to Lady Weeds.
Oh, yeah. Because they said they needed an avatar who's done it before or something. Somebody who already understands.
They were trying to decide who to get, so they were looking at humans that had some sort of tie to the machine world.
Yeah.
So they mentioned, Cyborg and a couple other people like that, but then they finally decided they didn't need someone that had the machine ties, but someone who had the same hatred for for Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
And the passion to go after him, so.
Which I think will be pretty cool. That character is pretty vicious.
Yeah. Yeah, she is.
So.
Justice League 3000?
Yes.
Behind. I'm sorry.
You're behind. That was, you were the one who was pushing
the book. Yeah,
that was. I know.
It was the return of...
I know, but I'm spending so much time trying to read the number ones that I don't always get to the tens and elevens as quick as I should.
So they're... It's the, you know, quiet, I guess, after they had their battle with the Five and establishing, I guess, almost like a headquarters.
Yeah, in this, Camelot.
Yeah, in Camelot. Which I was kind of surprised because it seemed like in the beginning when they were talking to... Was it Lancelot they were talking to?
It was Galahad, but Galahad.
They weren't really welcome to stay there.
Yeah.
But then suddenly that was going to be their headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. You got to see a lot of, training, I guess, where you had Superman kind of training New Flash and...
Is it still the girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Hal Jordan character kind of being the more, responsible.
She's still real little?
Yes. Yeah.
Read the book, man. He has and buy it.
But this, the using the light powers is killing him.
Right.
It is, yeah. But I think.
But they don't really.
Didn't he find some way around that?
I think he did.
Yeah, I feel like he found some way to prevent that from happening.
Huh.
But I can't think of what it was now.
Because he has a pocket.
Yeah, and he's he's in the pocket.
And he's the body of it, which is really funny.
But it was good. So then you see the evil twin trying to create additional clones to go after the Justice League. But since the Justice League DNA has all been corrupted by Aerial Masters, he decides to create the anti-Justice League.
Yeah, the Injustice League.
Yeah, the Injustice League.
Injustice 3000.
So it has Bane, Mirror Master, who's calling Captain Cold.
No difference. Yeah.
Lois Lane from the Injustice.
Yeah.
I can't remember who else was on there.
Cheetah, I think.
No, I don't think Cheetah was on there.
There was someone for Wonder Woman.
Zeus.
Oh, that's right, yeah, it was Zeus. That's right, yeah. And Sinestro.
Yeah, and Sinestro. And then.
What is it? Maximilian Zeus? Or is it the actual Zeus?
It's like Zeus.
Yeah. And then at the very end, they, on the prison planet, which is actually Earth, they dug up these cryo chambers and ended up being Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. And not clones, like the actual.
Pre 52.
Pre New 52, completely preserved.
Yeah.
Just sleeping together. Coldly, kind of creepily.
You don't know what was going on.
Side by side casket.
Yeah, it was a little.
In full outfit. So it was kind of. Got awkward.
Yes, it did.
So it's kind of interesting to see where that's going to go now in their battle with the Injustice League. I can't imagine the Injustice League that they created being the same level of threat that the Five were in the first arc.
Yeah, and that's the first arc. You were essentially fighting gods, and now you're fighting, clones of supervillains past.
Yeah. So I don't know, but we'll see. Godhead, Green Lantern. Any of you guys reading that?
Yeah, that was really good.
It was good to see them take refuge with Sinestro on Korriger. New Korriger.
Yeah. And I like the interaction between Jordan and Sinestro. Reason why I could never beat you is because you were so unpredictable. Now you're becoming predictable.
What is New Korriger? Is it the... it said it was another planet. Was that the dead planet?
Yes.
Is that the one where they were keeping that one guardian at for a long time?
Kronos.
The dead one. Was it Kronos?
I think it was.
I remember one of them that they were keeping Atrocitus at. You remember that?
I'm not sure.
He had him in a bed. He just laid there. I always thought that was Kronos.
Yeah, that was Kronos.
Yeah, but I remember there was one dark one, like one Black Lantern one. Oh, it was one of the ones that died early on. It was the girl. It was a female.
Okay.
One. That's what it was. But yeah, they had like a, it was Necron's planet then, right? That he's taken over and made into.
No,
I haven't been reading the.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which planet that was. I was like, where did this planet come from? Like, why did he like take over a planet or something? And he's been finding refugees, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's been going around and finding.
You wouldn't think there would be very many refugees from a planet that just exploded.
He found a surprising. Well, some of them were like, they were like slaves.
Oh.
Oh, has this been in the.
It's been in the Sinestro. Okay. Yeah, yeah. If
the Sinestro book was interesting.
Yeah.
I've never read a Sinestro book.
The Sinestro Godhead Time was really good.
Yeah.
It was a brutal book, but it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the, in this new book, the conversation between Sinestro and Hal, where he was he went back to the part where he was just like, you know, that he is a friend or something like that.
I liked it, but the only thing I didn't like is that right after Hal became corpse leader, like he still was very unpredictable, and they kind of addressed that he couldn't act like that anymore because he was a corpse leader, and then he started doing things right and it was working out for him, and now suddenly it's like, oh, now you're just acting like a, you know, predictable leader. You have to be unpredictable to be successful. So it's, I feel like it's kind of contradicting what they were doing in the beginning of this, this run a little bit. But I mean, it was good. The interaction was good between them.
Yeah, the battle itself was kind of nice.
Yeah,
it was fun with the what's his name, Kello.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And he lost his like hand, and then Sinestro like fixed it with
Sinestro,
which I don't know how that Sinestro works exactly, but I mean I don't know how these rings work exactly. Anyways, but does Sinestro have to focus on that? Because everything else he has to focus on to create.
Yeah, but Sinestro is more powerful than the other ones. Also,
he is paralyzed. Make a construct that's
like permanent. Like that's what I didn't understand.
Why not? Larfleeze can.
Well, I guess he can. Yeah. Maybe that's how that works. I know, like, Green Lanterns, like, if they're not focusing on it, then they don't use any will, and it doesn't create, like, it's just...
But maybe that's just it. You know, theirs is will, so that's their weapon if they don't use, you know...
That could be... Yeah, I never understood the light of how all the lights work. Like, it seems like they all have different kind of abilities that they can use, you know? Like, I understood willpower. Willpower is used to, you know, they use will, and he's able to use that will to create... constructs of this, but like, how do you use fear to create constructs? Like,
I never understood that because
it's more like magic.
To be picked by the green ring, you're full of, you know, this willpower.
Yeah.
But the yellow rings, I mean, you're full of fear, or you've mastered fear.
Yeah, it's kind of, I think it's more that they're trying to tell us that they've mastered the ability of using fear.
Yeah, because there was a throwaway line in Forever Evil with Sinestro and Batman. He's like, what a yellow you would have made.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's learned how to master fear. Because
he tried to get, tried to get him, and it was just like, he rejected it. He threw it away.
The stuff with Black Hand at the end was funny.
Yeah, I
like that with the circus.
I almost...
And the Graysons?
Yeah.
The Graysons were and he wanted them to fall. Yeah, like, he's like,
they never work with a net.
Yeah, you should know better.
For some reason, I was thinking that they were talking about Larfleeze and not Black Hand. But then after they showed him, I remember they did show the gods go to Larfleeze to get his ring.
Well, but it's not just that. It's... their weapon is the white, so you got to go opposite spectrum.
Yeah.
That's the black ring, so it had to be that. And that's, you know, that really is unpredictable. That'd be the last person I'd go to for help.
I have a feeling, though, that we haven't seen the last of Larfleeze.
No.
Like, because of this. I think he's not happy right now, I'm sure.
Well, he was,
he lost his ring.
In his, but that's, in
but
his
he
own...
need the ring, though.
No, in his own series, he is the Lantern.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he can create his own.
Because
all his constructs... basically became permanent. They tried to recharge.
Yeah.
And it didn't work because he is the battery.
Yeah.
I used to like the one that looked like a cloud.
Glomulus.
And like they played him up so much in that New Guardian story that it was like, he's funny. He's, you know, Kyle likes him and never brought him out ever again. Like they don't use him.
Glommy.
Yeah.
That's what they call him.
And he was becoming more like attached to Kyle.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was funny. So, I don't know. Wish they would use that more. They don't use that Dexstar anymore either, too much.
No, they did. They've used him in the Red Lanterns.
Yeah, he's been in that quite a bit.
Okay. When they had the Atrocious War,
he was almost like Atrocious Lieutenant.
I used to love his origin book that they had a while back.
Yeah, where the old lady got killed and he got thrown off the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never read it.
It was the backup story in the first six or seven Red Lantern books.
Oh, I only started reading them whenever Charles Soule started writing it.
Okay.
I heard it wasn't that great whenever... Was it Milligan was writing it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It was kind of up and down.
It was all right. I liked it. But the backup for Dexstar was really good.
Yeah.
So...
And then Grayson. Any of you guys read Grayson?
I didn't get a chance to read it, but you can talk about.
This was actually it was kind of fun. Now. Yeah.
That's nice of you.
What's that?
It is.
What'd you say?
Nothing.
Oh.
He tried that.
Don't do that.
Zip it.
It's like he was giving you permission to talk about it. I just thought it was funny.
he asked.
Yeah.
He said, does anybody read Grayson? I said, no, I didn't. Ask. But I wanted to make sure that he didn't stop and say, oh, well, I won't talk about it then. I'll be like, no, you're good.
No,
go back to your phone.
This one was...
I'm tweeting. Michael. Michael's tweeting me.
You done
he
now?
Read Batman. He's very excited about Batman. Go on. Go ahead. You may continue now.
Go, peasant.
He's smacking me in the face. That's not nice.
No, this is more of a fun issue. So you have Grayson. He's at this academy for... all these women.
Is it the one that he was at, like, in the first or second issue?
Yeah, the academy for the female assassins. I think it's the same academy that...
I like making noise when Josh is talking.
What's her name?
Helena?
No, Stephanie Brown was at in Batman Incorporated, the first volume before the New 52.
Okay.
Remember the issue that had Stephanie Brown and she was infiltrating that Academy for Assassins?
It was Batman
like
Inc.
School. Yeah.
I think it's the same
Academy.
It was
Batman Inc. It was that, you remember that issue, that big thick issue that came in between before they brought out the New 52 one? It was like they were finishing up the main run of Batman Inc. Yeah. Before New 52.
I think the Academy in Grayson is the same school that she was in that issue. Yeah. It's this academy for these female assassins. So you have the female students who get glimpses of Dick Grayson, who's now going to be it comes later in the book, but they get these glimpses of Dick Grayson and decide they want to go on a Manti raid and try and spy on Dick Grayson in his room undressed, but he catches on to it, so he gives them a chase around campus until Helena Bertinelli catches on and stops it. So
she crossbows him.
So the guy with the swirly face, Minos, is that his name?
I forget. I don't remember his name.
Spinart.
Yeah, Spinart. Decides that he is going to force Grayson to be gymnastics teacher who is gay. So that way it dissuades these girls from trying to, like, chase after him anymore. And then it leads to, like, kind of starting that relationship between him and Bertinelli, where she sees that, you know, why he came there and how he still was holding on this Nightwing past, that he likes, you know, having the chase at night. And
okay.
So it was a fun departure from how this series has been so far.
That's one thing that I'm not quite... understanding of this book is, do they know he was Nightwing?
They know he was Nightwing. At least she does.
So aren't they assuming that Batman's up to something? Like, that's what I don't get. Like,
yeah.
Aren't they just like, well,
unless,
he's infiltrating us, obviously.
Unless just she knows. Well, I think he was recruited by them because he was Nightwing.
Yeah.
But it's like Batman has an agenda here. Did they not assume that Batman would have? And then his whole thing, this guy is like, his whole thing is, what is it, figuring out, like, superpowers or able to take down all of them if necessary or something? So
Batman already has a plan for all
by
that.
Somebody who's... It just... Something doesn't add up. I don't know. But it's not a horrible book. It's just... It's kind of confusing.
I just think the book's still trying to find its footing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they're building up to something with the Midnighter.
Wow. Yeah.
They had... The only awkward thing with this book is they had a quick, like, two-page section with the Midnight, it didn't kind of fit in with the rest of the the issue at all. But I think they're just trying to build up to some, you know, big arc or confrontation between Dick Grayson and him. But I mean, it was fun. It's I think the book's getting better. But we'll see. You're up, Dave.
Dave.
I want to talk about Hulk number 8. Or Doc Green is continuing his crusade to rid the world of gamma irradiated heroes. So the first couple of pages, he goes to dig up Doc Samson, who's dead. He's dead.
I missed that too.
I don't know how he died. I don't know. So he's in the graveyard. He digs him up to make sure he's dead. And there's a, you know, there's a caretaker in the cemetery there. And he's like, I'm not seeing anything. Don't worry about it. So
I got to stop drinking.
So he is dead. So it turns out he is still dead. I mean, as dead as
dead a Marvel is, character Marvel. Can be.
He is still dead. Of Hulks or whatever they have.
So then, and then the rest of the issue is him facing off with Red She-Hulk, Betty Ross, to try to cure her. And it turns out that Rick Jones slipped something into her coffee, and she's cured from being the Red She-Hulk.
Okay.
But we get the big news is we find out
who, yeah, that's what it is.
We find out who shot Bruce Banner.
Betty Ross?
But that's, yeah, well. Betty Ross. It doesn't really matter who this Lukenstern, this scientist who's working with Doc Green, ends up shooting him. But the order was given by Betty Ross, who is working for, who's with the Order of the Shield. I don't know, does anybody know? I guess this
Order
was,
of the Shield?
The Order, not Shield. Not capital S-H-I-E-L-D, but...
Lowercase?
Lowercase Order of the Shield, who I think were...
No acronym.
No, not an acronym.
The non-acronym Shield.
Because...
No, I'm not familiar with that.
They have this Terranometer, which is it's a machine. It's predicting people who will bring about the end of the world. I don't know if this was in the Hickman Shield series. I don't know if anybody read that.
I never finished.
That was so long ago, but...
Did you post something recently about
that? I did. Well, they announced that the final two issues were done. I'm like, well, that's great. The last one shipped 3 years ago. Yeah, I was like, that's all well and good, but who cares?
Yeah.
You have a poor attitude.
Well, you can't go 3 years between issues and expect people to be jumping for joy.
Hey, we
buried our hatch.
You're trying to build up suspense. Sixes?
Everything's it goes.
Clue? What? Oh, sorry. We'll get there.
We're getting there.
Go ahead. Sorry.
One Hulk at a time.
No, so it's I don't know, this machine spitting out names that'll bring about the end of the world scenarios, and I guess it spits out Bruce Banner's name, so that's why she feels she has to do this. And she just ends up creating an even more problem, I guess, she feels. But it's a good book, like where it's going. Jerry Duggan and Mark Bagley. Okay, Colin mentioned this last week, Tooth and Claw, number one. Really good. Pure fantasy book with these humanoid animals.
That's the one with, like, the frog thing on the cover?
It's a warthog. Yeah. Okay. Sure, frog, close.
It was some kind of animal.
I mean, you only had to check off one so far.
Well, so far, but you've only talked since. Pat's gonna boom, boom, boom. Well, nobody else is reading half the books I read, so.
Humanoid animals, and they all come together. They find out that magic is dying.
Well, the world is based on magic.
Yeah.
Especially for this group that we're following, who all live in this city in the sky that's held aloft by magic. They come down to the planet surface and trade with the buffalo people.
Yeah.
Who want their own magic because they kind of don't trust these guys, and they give them, I'm not sure what, the pelts or whatever they gave them to take back up.
I'm going to have to sniff Harley Quinn like 9 more times to understand what the hell you're talking about.
What? But
in I'm assuming you mean the book?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the story of this young, of the son of a big diplomat.
Although.
And he comes with them on this trade mission down to the planet where they're in a floating city. Okay? They live in a floating city. They come down to the planet. They do some bartering. And basically the buffalo people feel that they got really shafted.
Yeah.
And then they go back up. And it's exciting because all these other magicians from all over, I don't really know if it's galaxy or wherever the world or wherever.
Are they like segregated animals? Like the buffalo people live here, the warthog people live here?
They're definitely looked down upon by the people in the floating city.
Silver snakes.
But,
it's the 17 cities above the plane.
Ah, there, see? Okay. He takes notes. I'm winging it.
Okay.
But all these people are coming for this like big meeting of all the great magicians and stuff. And it's revealed at this meeting that magic is failing. They're using up magic. And they need to figure out something to do. And this one person has a plan.
Plan to recall the great champion.
Who opened the door that allowed magic out. So they're hoping they can recall him so that he'll...
Close the door?
No, let more magic out so that they have more magic to use.
Close the door, no magic.
And so it's a very elaborate thing that they need to do.
So you said let magic out. I think
get all these different people in who are actually working against, because all the head people want them to do nothing. And they're like, no, we got to do this. So they try to do it. And there's this one guy who claims that he can, you know, he's a master of, not weather, atmospheric magic. And, of course, he's the one who fails as they're doing it. And everything kind of goes hinky at the end. And the cities crash. And there's no more magic. But they manage to get something. We don't know if it's the champion or what it is at the end. But something has happened. But it was really good because it was a double-sized issue. So it was 40 pages, $2.99.
Art was
fantastic.
Yeah, just beautifully drawn. Yeah. It was just amazing. So much detail.
And it's Kurt Busiek who did Marvels and Astro City and all that. So it's a guy who knows how to tell a story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So sorry I stole the whole thing.
No, that's okay. Yeah. Just beautiful.
Dave almost just walked out.
No, just beautifully drawn because, you know, the animals are very natural. I'll make up a word, naturalistically looking.
Anamorphic.
It's like Spuds McKenzie. Cartoony. And then you have the warthog, who's the one magician who tried to get everything going. And then there's an owl one that failed
about
everybody.
Spud McKenzie.
Oh, now I'm going to start calling Dunstan Spuds in issue two. That's his name. Okay, next I read Nailbiter number 7.
Behind that's the one with Bendis.
In this issue, guest starred Brian Michael Bendis.
As a character in the book.
As a character in the book who goes to this town of Buckaroo to do research on a book. He says a book, I don't know if it's a comic, on serial killers. So he ends up meeting... I think he has this conversation with the nail biter, the serial killer. I don't know why he's out and just traipsing, just walking around, you know, not behind bars. But they have a funny conversation about killers, and they talk about all the people Bendis has killed in his books. Hawkeye,
yeah,
Peter Parker in the Ultimate Universe, Professor X, or he killed Professor X, right?
No, unless he wrote Ultimatum, which I don't think he did.
No,
he wrote AVX.
Oh, AVX,
right. Come on, man.
Well, how many people wrote AVX?
Come on, C-lister. You don't even know your events. Jeez.
Aw, C-lister. That's hurtful.
Let's go into the strip club after this. So.
For the buffet.
Exactly.
Can I have a piece of candy?
Yeah.
Can I have a piece of candy? Yes, it's your retreat.
Make sure we can open it right next to the mic, though.
Nobody else gets candy.
But...
What do you think it's Halloween?
Has the nail biter in this book actually done anything bad, though? Like, I know that in the past he has,
yeah,
but
don't think so, no.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. There's not a lot of... It's a good issue. Not a lot of plot building.
I don't want to hit Dave. Wouldn't
that be awful?
Dave was killed by a whopper.
Oh.
A horrible, horrible end.
You're right.
That would be on my gravestone. Oh, on Doc, go back to Hulk for a second, just remember, because on Doc Samson's gravestone, it says the doctor is out.
Oh.
Mm.
I thought that was clever.
Dun, dun. That's
like Lucy in the peanut. Yeah. Or was it Sally? I don't know.
No, it was Lucy.
And the doctor's way Men in. Of Wrath, Men of Wrath number 2. Okay. Last week.
Which is funny. I think Marvel was banking on the success of that, like Southern Bastards. And yeah. For some reason, it's not selling anywhere close.
Is it Jason Aaron too?
Yeah. But like Southern Bastards, I'm selling 40 copies of Men of Wrath 3.
Yeah, I
know. You know,
this book is much more violent.
Okay.
Than I mean,
well, Pat, you should like that.
As Pat likes violence.
I do.
If you want to see, because in this issue,
like Punisher Max level violence, or
he wants to see babies.
Do you think it's because people look at it and say,
a kid blows his dad's head off with a shotgun?
Do you think people look at it and say it's the Marvel imprint, so it's probably not going to be the same
level
of grittiness as Southern Bastards,
or they just don't know what
is it Marvel or is it Max?
A better job promoting it. My guess is Image probably does a better job getting people's attention about the books, where this is just, it's a Marvel, you know, but you don't know. You see Men of Wrath, what is it? I don't know.
And I don't even think it's about promotion. I think when Image has a brand new number one, people are more excited about it, even without that level of promotion, than they are from a Marvel or DC brand new number one.
They're not excited about that, a Marvel number one? Fine.
If it's a...
An actual Marvel number one or a Marvel something something that's...
Maybe they don't consider it like a...
You know,
even
like,
though it is creator-owned, maybe they don't consider it people...
Yeah, like, I don't know, but I mean, even like...
If it's under Marvel's banner.
The other Icon stuff, you know, the stuff that Bendis is doing, there's very little excitement. I don't know why. Well, Bendis' problem is nobody thinks he's actually going to keep up with it, because like Powers fizzled and went away.
Too much going on.
Brilliant, Scarlet, you know, he's let all those wander off. So this United States of Murder, I think people are just kind of like, you know, it's going to get off the rails. So it has, and it's shipped regularly, but I think people are just kind of a little gun-shy.
I think his, like, I'm not saying that Brian Michael Bendis is a bad writer. I think he's got too much on his plate, and I think that he...
He's even appearing in other books.
Yeah, he's just showing up in books now. What's going on?
I need a character. I'll just write myself in there.
I think I think he's not up to par as like he was like 10 years ago. I think he was just doing like a little bit less, but what he was doing, he wanted to do so much, and I don't think now. I think he's doing too much that he wants to do. But I think it's just he has to make sacrifices, and then things just disappear. Or things. That's why I think Avengers he was done, because when they all of a sudden every issue was this little round the table type discussion, I was just like, what are we doing? Is this like, you know, this isn't a comic book anymore? So I don't know. I think his like status for me is kind of just dropped because he has too much just on his plate. I think they try to use him too much at Marvel as like their Geoff Johns. And it doesn't, it's not working anymore.
It doesn't feel like the books that he's on right now that he's like passionate about, I guess. Like Dan Slott, whether you like him or not, he does seem like he's passionate about
Spider-Man
and stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't get the same thing from Bendis in his.
I think that's why sometimes X-Men we get hit and misses with Dan Slott, which makes sense. You're most likely going to get hit. Misses.
You're going to try new things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're not just doing it just because you're just to do it. Like, Ultimate Spider-Man, I feel like he's been on it for too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that's their top Ultimate book, and it's not doing well, you know? And it's just like, he tried to do this Miles Morales thing. It worked for its time, but it's just like, it's time to move him on to something different. And what they did with X-Men, that didn't work either.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he really wanted to do X-Men, but... It's just like he's got all the X-Books.
Well,
you know, he's running the whole franchise of X-Men. And it's just like, it's not working. Do something else now. You know, you know, end this. You know, it's done. You can't do this. But
everything ends, Adam.
Are any of you still reading all new X-Men at all?
No.
I gave up. I just, it's for a book that started good for me. It was a book that I all of a sudden... By the time it hit Battle of the Atom, I was just like, I don't think they know what they're doing with these characters.
I read it after Battle of the Atom, and it kind of lost me. There was a whole episode about them getting new costumes. Mm-hmm. And it was just like,
There
was a lot of around in circles that didn't.
I stopped reading after the Trial of Jean Grey.
Yeah, actually, that's where I stopped. I stopped reading right at the beginning of Trial of Jean Grey because first of all, I wasn't reading Guardians, so I was just like,
what?
Well, I was.
Who?
Well, my whole thing was that I don't like. Don't force me to read Guardians. Like, that's how I saw it. It was a force.
You should just
want Guardians.
To read Guardians. It's so
I
good.
I don't want to. And I read it. I read it from the beginning. I was like, that's another Bendis book. I'm just like, what are they doing with this? Are they just doing it because they need a Guardians book? Or are they doing it because Bendis wants to do a Guardians book?
I liked Guardians for a while. Recently, I haven't been enjoying it much. Now, it just finished its original Sin tie-in. So maybe it'll get better. But if it... I don't know.
What did Rocket do? What was his sin?
You don't want to
know. It was Groot's. I am Groot.
Ask Aunt May.
Oh, man. Groot, you naughty, man. Naughty boy.
I didn't make that. It's on the cover of
It's the movie coming out. Aunt May.
Aunt May and Groot.
Oh, man.
Friends Rocket, forever.
Man. Rocket. Groot
officiated.
Groot's what Pat was saying.
I am Groot.
I don't know. I mean, not to spend too much time on Bendis, but I just feel like he's not.
20 minutes later?
I just feel like... I do. I just feel like he's...
You're the moderator.
They're not putting...
Moderator.
I feel like they're not putting him into anything that he's wanting to do anymore. I feel like he wanted to do Avengers, and I think that's a problem. I think that's one of my great problems with Marvel right now, too.
I feel like Bendis has enough pull to where he could say... I want to do this, or I don't want to do that. And Marvel will listen to him.
But maybe that is the problem, too. He wants to do X-Men, so you let him do X-Men, and it's not working out, but he's not going to give up the reins. Yeah. Say, no, you need to go back to Avengers because you were killing
it there.
And
there's a point where Marvel has to jump in and say, because X-Men is not a book that's doing well right now at all for anybody.
Well, he's not going to Avengers because Hickman has... plans for Avengers 4.
Which, why don't they go back? So why don't they take, if he can do this stuff, why don't they try to write some of these characters that aren't working, that they have out there floating around that, well, I guess he's done that with Moon Knight, so, I don't know. Really weird, because he was writing that Moon Knight for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all I got. Okay. Time for Pat.
No, Colin, you go. Cause,
me?
Yeah, because otherwise you say...
Well, here, I'll steal one of Adam's. Spider-Man 9, the start of Spider-Verse. I enjoyed that because I hadn't read a lot. I read the first of the Superior. And then gleaned stuff just from you guys talking and stuff. But so it was nice being introduced to the whole family, the Master of the Web or whoever his name was.
The Weaver.
So that was interesting where they would go out to worlds to feed. And then all the guys trying to get everybody together. And interesting that the home base was with Captain Universe Spider-Man, but he couldn't leave there. It actually made Peter Porker, I don't want to say relevant, but it made him real. It didn't make him a joke.
Yeah.
But it was also similar to Captain Carrot in the first issue of Multiversity.
I don't think in a world that you have Howard the Duck, I don't think you can, like, make... Peter Porker showing up feel like a joke.
Yeah.
Like, if Spider-Man's there and he's just like, oh, there's a talking pig, he's just gonna be like, that's okay, because I still met a talking duck, you know? So...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, just the cruelness of the Moreland family, infighting.
Was this the one where they had the Kravenov and Silver Sable? I thought that was cool.
And there's more where that came from. Like she said, there's other ones if you need another one or something.
But then it ended with the spiders just on the table dying.
Their feast.
Yeah. Well, so just
like
very...
an actual spider. It's a man spider.
The one from that... the EC horror looking one.
Oh yeah, could have been. Yeah.
I thought he got killed in that issue though.
He got his arms ripped off.
Oh okay.
I didn't count how many arms he had on him.
You were talking about the Master Weaver stuff. Yeah. They had a backup not too long ago that explained like the Weaver, how they took over.
Yeah, I thought in that backup that they killed the Weaver though. I didn't realize they left him alive.
I have to go back and look at that. I feel like I don't exactly remember what they did, but somehow they took control of the web, which I guess is like Earth 1. Mm-hmm.
There was a neat thing in Spider-Verse. I'm going to totally give away the one backup story where it was the world of the newspaper strip.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious because it was two panels. And then in the first panel, the second one, it basically repeated what they said in the last panel. And Moreland's there like, I just told you who I am. I'm Morlun. I'm here to kill you. What? And then it repeated, and it's like, this is getting redundant. And he's like, Weaver, get me out of here. It was kind of very funny in that,
I don't exactly understand why Morlun is alive, though. That's the only thing, because he was killed.
That's why he's afraid of 616.
Because he died? Shouldn't he still be dead?
I mean, he was hello? Hello?
Have
you read a comic book?
Is his name Uncle Ben?
Yeah, oh my gosh.
I wish they'd explain it to him.
He wasn't trapped in adamantium, was he? Because then you're never coming back if that happens.
He was stabbed with spider stingers.
What power do they have over the Weaver? Because they can't... I mean... Like,
yeah, if they kill him...
Why wouldn't he just leave?
Well, that was the interesting thing that he did in this one was, he says, this is my one act of defiance. I'm leaving this one alone. I'm separating this one because it's innocent. And that was the newspaper one. It was just kind of funny.
Mm.
Like, why wouldn't he just leave, you know, Morlun trapped in one of these worlds?
Well, because if he leaves Morlun trapped, there's still the other ones that are there.
But they can't kill him because they need him to get them to these different...
They'll find something worlds. Else to eat.
I like how they're doing this story, though, because I really did like the other. I really liked Morlun. So, I don't know. It's kind of funny, though, that all of the Earths revolve around this Earth One. So, like, the web is such a big, intricate part, it seems, of whatever their multiverse is.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man is a really big part of their multiverse, which I it just seems like really weird because it's Spider-Man. It's not like you think you have Thor and you have all of the, you know, Asgard and the Nine Realms, but it really is all about the web. Like, that's what the story's kind of telling me.
I think it's weird to me because you'd think that it would be, like you mentioned Thor, a character who just naturally has these, like, abilities or those ties, not a character that got them because he was bitten by a radioactive spider, and then suddenly the totem.
It's kind of funny because you always think of, like, when Madame Web would talk about the web, and this has been talked about for, like, years of Spider-Man, the actual web, that it's a literal web. It's actually a web that this big spider is weaving. And I thought that was kind of interesting that they never even brought that much up in the other, like, until now. He's actually showed us, like, there's a web and there's a weaver and all this. The other interesting thing about that, they mentioned the other, which supposedly is now Kain. And this happened in that Kraven story where he supposedly died. They buried him and then he evolved. It becomes the other. So now I think Kain now has the spikes come out of his arms and stuff like that, making him the other. But Peter was the other and before the Mephisto stuff. And they kind of recognize that. So, I don't know. I mean, it's good. It's an interesting story. I think it's going to be something good.
Now moving on to Spider-Verse team up.
Yeah.
Not as good. Basically had,
want to pick it up.
Just had like a couple spiders teaming up to try to save another one who's being attacked.
You open the book and a real spider fall out of it.
So kind of like the same thing that was going on at the beginning of Spider-Man number 9, where Spider-Man
in this one it started, pretty much.
Old man's,
kind of like that. Like this one, I think it started where it was three different spiders, but they were being attacked by every vulture that there's ever been. Every incarnation of the Vulture, which was kind of cool.
Okay.
You had the animated one, you had the old man, you had the one with the big things off the more recent one,
more
the
recent
jaw
one.
Thing.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting, but nothing too
crazy. Said John Malkovich.
Yeah.
Yeah, they brought up some of the animated universe Spider-Man into this. They brought up the ones from...
Spider-Man 67 is in this week's issue.
They have that, and then they had Amazing Friends.
They had
that, where they killed them all.
Yeah, because that Miss Lyon...
Miss Lyon's like, no! It's like, oh my god.
Yeah, that was like Earth 1983 or something
like that. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was funny. I think that was that backup. Was that a backup in a regular Spider-Man book, or is that the Superior Spider-Man book?
I think that might have been Superior.
That's where the Weaver story was. Okay. It was in Superior. Okay. Yeah, it was the backup.
I didn't read that second one. Okay.
Yeah.
Now the elephant in the room that nobody's been wanted to mention.
Sixus.
Axis. Sixus. And it is funny every time somebody that's not familiar with it sees it and goes, "What's the Sixus thing?"
My wife did it yesterday. Yeah.
So you coached her?
No, I swear to God.
It's just funny. But it just makes me feel good because it's not just me because I cannot not see Sixus on it. But Axis 4, which was the aftermath of the inversion spell that still has not really been explained. But other than, and everyone that was present, their, I guess the only way to really put it is their alignment has been inverted. So if you were good, you're evil. If you were evil, you're good.
Deadpool's just, he's Zen now.
Yeah. I don't know what Deadpool is, but...
he's Zen. That's what was happening in his book.
Oh, was it? Okay, there you go. Fair enough. But you have, like, the Avengers and the X-Men really hate each other, and...
Alex Havoc.
Well, Havoc, who was part of the Unity team, is calling for the death of all humans, and it's just... The, also, what happened was the Avengers basically just took the Red Skull... And we're going to hold on to him, and the X-Men are really pissed about that because, no, that's Charles Xavier. We brought him to the forefront, and now you're imprisoning him. And just a lot of anger and stuff going on. And then at the end, the Avengers basically decide that they need to kill the Red Skull. That's the only way to settle this. So they go up into Avengers Tower where he's being kept. And Jarvis is there, and he's thwarting them. And
Jarvis, the butler?
The butler, yes. Jarvis the butler.
Well, he was.
It was funny because they touted the return of an Avenger, a longtime Avenger you haven't seen in a while.
So
Jarvis.
So Jarvis is inverted. Does that mean?
No, he wasn't because he wasn't present when the spell was passed.
I was going to say, is he over there like throwing dirt everywhere? No. Like, making everything a mess?
But so the key part of this was Hulk was there. And everybody was yelling and angry. And he stands there and he goes, you know, I'm sad. And when Hulk is sad, you turn the page, literally, and that's when Clue comes out. Clue being K-L-U-H, or Hulk backwards. And he basically looks like Hulk during Fear Itself. Like if he had one of the hammers, he has all these crackly lines that are glowing and this weird mohawk now. And basically he says he's the Hulk's Hulk. And he's what comes out of the Hulk when the Hulk transforms. Instead of Banner transforming into the Hulk, he's what the Hulk transforms into.
But if the Hulk is all about rage, then wouldn't he be like the Star Sapphire version of the Hulk?
Dude, I can't answer
it. Hulk, Hulk.
I turned that page.
Hulk, Hulk.
Yeah, I turned that page and saw Clue and just kind of went.
No wonder Clue's so sad. He's running around digging up old friends and he's just like this.
But it's just like, was there no editor, somebody say Clue is a really dumb name?
Like, this is dumb, Remender.
You know, maybe...
Hulk did it with a wrench in the conservative
room. How about Renad? You know, just something, I don't know. I just remember turning that page just going, ugh.
It gave you that same feeling as one.
Basically, it looks like, and then somehow the Red Skull has escaped. Then that continued into this week's one, which was really bizarre. Not to give anything away.
Is he still Onslaught when he escapes?
We don't know. You don't see him. He's just not there. But in 5, it's continuing this, and you have Falk, Captain America, but he's, like, really angry. Democracy doesn't work. It's proven democracy doesn't work, so now this is going to be
Captain
martial
Tommy.
Law, and I'm in charge. And just everybody's angry and all this stuff, and you have this really weird, even Peter Parker shows up because he wasn't there. So they called all the Avengers basically to capture them all. They were shrinking them down with Pym particles and putting them in an ant farm. That's why they called an Avengers meeting. Just really weird. But then you have all new Captain America, where that's regular Falcon, who's not inverted, and it's him going on a mission for Steve to do something. So it was just really weird.
Which all
reading
came out
those
the same week.
Right. And then there's Captain America and the Mighty Avengers, which is an Axis tie-in, so that's an inverted one. So it's just very confusing. But the best part about Axis and Captain America being two different Captain Americas, same writer. So
and you were reading it, and it, they were getting angry, and then you were getting angry.
Right, and then I got sad.
Showed up, and you got sad for comic books because you're just like,
and then
this
you got a mohawk
normal.
And glowing on.
And then I inverted my mohawk. So see,
yeah.
But yeah.
So Hulk wants to give Gamma.
Yeah,
he's giving Gamma back.
Right, but so like I don't know how it ties in with that. But you know, it's just.
Nothing.
I don't know what I know, so I don't know what's going on.
Remember,
but yeah.
Captain America wasn't something. Then he was in another dimension for a year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't.
But it's Clue. So
you sold me. Can I go buy all the issues?
Please, please.
Sold. Let's go.
He overordered. They're all
I like that. You overordered.
And it's also very weird. This is going to be a very strange trade to read because you start off with two issues of Andy Kubert, who's just kind of a solid artist. He was a little rushed. There was some questionable art in it. Then you go to Lionel Yu, who's a very scratchy, stylistic type thing. Then this last issue was the Dodsons, which is very pin-up-y, you know, very nice, but just these three styles don't fit
together.
Next
to her, Scotty Young.
It's at all. Yeah, exactly. It'll be a Scotty Young and then Bill Sienkiewicz. You know, so, what? So, okay. Batman Eternal 31.
Yep.
Was that Alfred's back?
Alfred
no,
escaped.
I was trying to think.
Yeah, Alfred escapes.
Alfred escapes
and Bane with Bane.
Right. Oh, was that the Bane issue?
Yeah, that was when
yeah.
Okay, sweet. That where Alfred kicked Bane. Ass.
Yeah.
That was good. Where he was fighting the guys next to Bane, and then he touched him.
Don't touch
me again.
Yeah.
I lead, you follow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we should really go this way. I thought that one was really good.
Yeah.
Is that
the issue also when Batman jumps into the hole and he figures out she didn't have dynamite at all on her?
Yeah,
like,
he
rips it off of her? Mm-hmm. Well, it was unclear if it was or it wasn't. Like, she couldn't get it to work. That's what it was. And then you're like, she thought that the guy who gave it to her, like, ripped her off or something. Yeah. So we still don't know who the guy is behind everything.
He broke it in half. Well, she was talking to Hush.
Yeah.
Was she talking to Hush?
Yeah.
Because there's somebody else involved here.
There was the one scene, I think it was this issue, where Spoiler confronts Hush, or that, was that this one? That one, I'm like, that's awful convenient that he just happens to be in that alley in Gotham where she ends up to hit her with, hit her like with a baseball bat or something.
But even he said that it's convenient that that happened.
Yeah.
Like, he almost makes light of it, like, oh, good, now I've got to look for you.
I'm like, that was a
little convenient.
It's
okay if they recognize it's convenient.
Okay, that was good.
At that point, they've gone meta.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's okay.
Fair enough. Okay, but that was good. And that's still been good. I mean, we're 31 issues in, or 32 today, but...
That's been solid.
That's been a solid book. It's been very good. That's going to... Whoever is reading that in trade when that comes out, I think is going to have a real nice... run on that. It's going to be one that's going to sell, you know, for a long time. You want a really good Batman story, a big Batman story, read this.
Colin's going to get a lot of them by that time.
And then
said, issue 40 is when it finally ties in with
Batman 28.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that makes sense. I mean, they've kind of been we've seen, especially if you're reading
Selina
Catwoman,
Kyle and...
she's taken over for her dad.
We're only 2 months
out. You think
out,
they'll include that into the trade? Like that Batman number 28.
They might, yeah. Just wedge it in there.
Somewhere.
Yeah. Why not? And then the other thing I read was the end of Superman Unchained, which was good.
Oh, yeah. That,
is going to read really good as a trade.
That's what I want to get a trade.
As I was reading it, I'm sitting here, as it started, I'm like, wait, what happened? I couldn't remember what happened last issue, and that really
last
hurt
issue,
this one.
Yeah, last issue was whenever he took Wraith down into the... Inside the planet.
Thank you.
Okay, see, I couldn't remember.
Kicked his ass.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
And I'm not a big Superman guy, and I tried reading that, and I think I liked the first two or three issues, and I got lost.
Yeah, well, it's when it's 2 or 3 months between issues,
it's
easy to get lost.
I think that was just, I mean, he had Jim Lee drawing it, and Jim Lee is a little bit busy with other stuff, so.
And then he shouldn't have drawn it if he couldn't do it.
True.
No offense.
No, you're right. I think, actually... I read an interview with Snyder. Scott Snyder wanted this to be kind of an ongoing, or at least do like another volume of it. And kind of once he got halfway through and he saw how the delays were going and talked to Jillian, it was kind of like, yeah, this is going to be.
That's what I assumed when it first came out, that it was an ongoing.
That's, right. I think so.
Then it would just be different artists or whatever. Yeah.
Because that's when the movie was coming out.
Yeah.
They wanted, like, Superman wasn't doing well.
Yeah.
So they brought out that and. I always thought they should have just gave Scott Snyder Superman, mm-hmm. since it wasn't doing well, and just had that as his ongoing Superman yeah. book. But yeah, I want to get that trade. That'll be a good trade.
It was good, though. I liked how everyone else is gathered together because it's a big threat, and there's just Lex Luthor in a hologram sitting in his chair drinking a glass of wine. Like,
yeah, yeah. It was good, but yeah, there was a lot of, for me, it was a lot of, as I'm reading nine, because I also, since I don't have the others, I'm reading them at home, I don't mm-hmm. have the others to refer to, I'm lost.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
My turn? I only got two. I can't remember which one had what in it, but World's End and Earth 2 I read.
Oh, I did read Earth 2.
I believe Earth 2 was the one which was basically an origin story of how the Furies came to be. Was that the Earth 2 book?
Yeah.
I thought it was. The Earth 2, and it was kind of interesting where they all came from. One of them in particular comes from the same planet that that Lobo is from. But it's a Lobo of Earth 2, which looks like...
The new Lobo.
The new Lobo. So I'm a little curious if this new Lobo in the universe might be the Earth 2.
That was
somehow
Plague.
He's in the... Huh?
Plague.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that was
Plague.
That's who that was.
Is that the one with the having the baby?
No, that's Death.
Yeah, but okay. I just keep wondering, though, if the current Earth Lobo, this one that nobody seems to... be that fond of
the
at all.
Skinny.
It might be the one from Earth 2, and we just don't know it yet. Not sure.
The hipster
but
Lobo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought Earth 2 Mongol was kind of funny. Mm-hmm. He was the one who had, I believe it was Death.
No, he had War.
War, yeah. Was it War?
No, he had Famine.
Famine, okay. But, like, he trained her to be, like, this monster, and...
Gladiator.
Then she chooses, then she chooses to leave with Steppenwolf, which I thought was kind of funny because even she attacks like Mongol, and she's just like, I go with whoever's more powerful. But yeah, it was really cool. Just interesting seeing where all of these characters are coming from, which I was really wanting where these Furies are from. But World's End has been really good.
Okay, I got a question about that.
What's up?
The Green Lantern on Earth 2,
yes.
Is he basically their swamp thing?
Kind of, yeah. Their avatars work a little different.
Because, like, Solomon Grundy is the rot, and okay, I got that made sense, but then...
They've never showed us a red or anything else, but she does mention that there's other ones in this issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was funny. But the green kind of works different on Earth 2 than it works on New 52 Earth. It's more of like he's more tapped into the Earth itself.
Okay.
Where he's not necessarily tapped into the green, like an actual green.
And who's this?
Like Swamp Thing. Green Lantern. So it's not the same type
it's
of Green
like
Lantern.
It's not like the
cosmic.
Yeah,
like
he's not
super,
the cosmic.
He's a Superman that's really attached to the Earth itself.
He's Captain Planet.
Yeah, he's Captain Planet. Which they did mention like other ones besides the ones that we have in the Earth of Avatars. They had a water one, like an ocean.
Yeah.
And one I think was air. Or something?
Yeah, it was like...
So there's all sorts of... Yeah, but he's kind of really attached to the Earth.
So really is Captain Planet.
Kind of. Yeah. Well, he isn't. He's
he
not
doesn't
attached
have
to it. He's just green. Just he's just the Earth.
The little monkey.
Yeah.
He just gets powers from the Earth. That's about it. The other one was... let's see. Solomon Grundy.
Yeah.
And Solomon Grundy shows up out of nowhere, which at one issue, it kind of confused me. One issue, they showed him on Apocalypse, and he was, like, enslaved by the forces of Apocalypse, where he's actually doing stuff, and they mentioned it. It was that issue of that first issue of World's End that they showed him there. And then he shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah, he was in Rio.
Out of the Earth. Yeah, and he just shows up out of nowhere in there. But he's ready to attack Green Lantern, and then the actual, like... I don't know what she is. She's mainly,
was she the Parliament?
She's like, kinda, yeah. She's kind of like the Parliament. She shows up and she tells them, you need to stop like fighting. You need to work together because if he does destroy the Earth, then what is there to, there will be no rot. There's no, these avatars won't be needed. So they need to work together to save the planet. So that was kind of interesting. And then they go back to where the last issue ended, where the rest of the Wonders. They go into the pits, the fire pits.
Mm-hmm.
And they run into Desaad, which for some reason is inside the pits, which I thought he was dead. I don't know. I forget whatever happened to him in the book. But they go into there, and they're trying to stop that because it seems like it's almost like a portal for them to send more parademons through. And Desaad actually throws Huntress into the fire pits. And that's kind of like where they left us off, I think, is where it was. But it's been really fun. Like, I mean, if you've liked Earth 2 from the beginning, you're good. If not, it might be a little difficult to jump into now. But you can jump on to...
We're only at issue
one, the first... Six. No, I mean, it's hard if you're not reading to understand every event, because this has been one big event since Earth 1, number 1. So everything kind of ties in. But if you're wanting to read World's End and you're wanting to read, you want to understand what's happening, they did really well with making that the part one of Earth 1 very easy to recap. It recaps it very nicely for somebody who doesn't want to go all the way back and read all the Earth 2 stuff. So, no, it's been really fun. Really good book. Pat, you're up.
Wow. Future's End.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read it.
Okay.
You're like, nobody read it?
Yeah, I was like, I can't be the only one who read it. I thought it was okay.
It was okay.
The stuff on Cadmus Island with 50 Sue or and was it Lana and the Grifter, that was just kind of, it was like it was there for filler. Almost.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole lot different. And I'm kind of getting tired of seeing Red Robin, Tim Drake, telling people, I'm not involved anymore. I'm not going to be...
Yeah, he keeps telling them. Nobody will leave him alone. Batman will show up and will be like, listen here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to quit acting like a punk. And
I did like the Batman stuff in there, the confrontation between...
Batman and Batman. Yeah.
Was that issue?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was in that issue?
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know if that picks up this week, but that's how's he going to explain that when he was already told, "Don't tell me because I'm not going to believe you anyway."
Yeah, that's the whole thing I don't understand.
Which I don't kind of understand why you'd say "Don't tell me not to believe anyway." I would think that Batman would somehow do tests or something to see if it's plausible. I don't know.
I don't understand why he would assume that he wouldn't believe him. Like, of all these things that happen on Batman's world, where, like, boom tubes open up and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not possible. Time travel. Doesn't make any sense. Everything else possible.
I'm closed-minded. Don't tell me.
Yeah, don't tell me about that. I'm a guy in a bat
don't
suit.
Tell me about the future.
I don't believe anything. There's a guy who flies, shoots lasers out of his eyes, but no time travel. I know a time traveler. His name's Booster Gold, but no, it won't work.
I read Marvel. They say it's broken.
It's broken. Doesn't work. Can't do it. Ultron told us.
Yep. And in the end, because Tim Drake tells Lois Lane to take a leap of faith, so she's jumping out of an airplane.
She hits the ground.
Which she's really disappointed since they all just left.
Well, and it's all over the ocean, so it's like, okay.
Which island was she landing on? Was Green it Cadmus Arrow or Island?
Yeah. Green Arrow Island.
Yeah. Yeah, and they left.
Isn't that, and now she's stranded on an invisible island. She's just like, man. Should have did this a long time ago.
Hey, no one knows I'm here. It's going to be horrible. Then they're going to have to find Tim Drake to find out where he sent her. It's going to be horrible. And then I read Green Arrow, which... I started reading it again because it's the writers of the show.
How's it been with them?
Like, it's only been the second issue. They brought on Felicity. But she was originally hired to kill the Green Arrow. And she's decided to...
She's an assassin?
Yeah, but she decides to help him instead.
An assassin with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
Works out.
Well, you know, she was a hacker with a heart of gold on the show, so now, you know, she created Brother Eye, and now... Yeah.
Well, you know, somebody asked, I'm like, she didn't really create Brother Eye, she created a virus... That
allowed Brother Eye to...
Well, no, because really Brother Eye is an artificial intelligence. This is just a virus, and they're just using that as their image.
This is the... What is this, the book?
No, on the show.
On the show, oh, show last book. Week where she...
No, I think it was just meant to be like kind of a fun nod to what's going on right now in the comics.
Okay. Yeah. Weird. Well, no, because a couple weeks ago there was something... There was OMAC. There was a throwaway... One blueprints he was looking at had OMAC at the bottom. So,
but like the Brother Eye thing from this week, it wasn't anything even close to.
It's almost
the,
like right, yeah, it's almost like how they used a Mazo.
Yeah,
like it was a boat. Yeah. Was it a big robot? We don't know that yet. Good Transformers or something.
There you go. Oh, it's not a Transformer. Oh. Damn it, Michael Bay.
Like Alice Spaceballs.
It's Mega Made. Amazo's gone from suck to blow. And I digress. Yeah, no, I lost my train of thought. I forget what the book was.
So is this podcast. They went to suck the blow.
Colin, back to you.
Okay, move on from Green Arrow. You were on Green Arrow.
Yeah, and then Deadpool Art of War.
Best movie ever. Yeah. Best book ever.
Best book ever. No, it's actually it's.
Jeez, Colin, get out.
It will be.
It's almost 10 o'clock. I'm tired.
No, it's interesting because Art of War is actually like one of my favorite books, and it follows like it's basically him quoting the Art of War.
The actual book, Art of War.
Yeah, Sun Tzu.
Yeah,
and he's teaching Loki how to take over. He gets double crossed by Loki, of course. Now he's with Thor. So he frees Thor, and that's where the book ends. So it looks like now he's going to teach Thor the Art of War to defeat Loki. It's basically a big scheme. He wanted to make money on the Art of War because it was in the public domain. But the publisher he went to said, well, you got to have your own take on it, otherwise it won't sell. So he's creating a war between Loki and Thor to sell the book. Because it's Deadpool, and that's what he would do.
That Deadpool.
But it's interesting how they're using real snippets.
I would think that Thor would already be versed in the Art of War.
But not Sun Tzu's Art of War. Not the way, you know, he's used to the Asgardian way of war, not ancient Chinese way of war. But it's very interesting because they're using actual snippets of the book and what Sun Tzu wrote in order to kind of tell what's the action is in the book.
Next will be the prince.
Nice.
Deadpool Machiavelli. Yeah, I could see that. That would work. That's it.
Okay. Well, we're now over 2 hours, so I think that was a good show.
You talk too much, Colin.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Talk about strippers and...
I didn't... I didn't even hear what
sir,
was going on.
Sir, I know
on.
How to work the pole.
I'm going to have to figure out how to title the episode.
That's the title.
I know, but how to get that on...
Yeah. You just have to name it. Podcast number 145, Sir, I Know How to Work the Pole.
Hi, is this Apple? Hi, this is Colin McMahon.
You know, I don't think I'm going to do that. But, Adam?
You're not going to do your list?
Oh, next week. Thank you.
See?
Where would I be without you?
Bro? I don't know.
Insane.
All of them with the
I don't know about that either.
Yeah, next week. Everyone with the next one. Amazing Spider-Man 10, Spider-Verse.
Whoa.
Avengers number 38, Time Runs Out.
Oh, man.
Adventures in X-Men Access number 6. Batman 66, The Lost Episode, where they're doing a lost episode as a comic book.
Ah.
Batman and Robin 36, Robin Rises.
Ah. Nice.
Nothing on page 2. Aww. Nothing on page 3. No. Nothing good.
Just nothing to highlight.
Just nothing, you know, no new number ones or key parts.
We're not to buy.
Sure. Intersect number 1 is a new Image one. Just weird. It's got a Ray Fox cover and it's got a Jeff Lemire cover. So I don't know what it is, but Image number 1's.
Woo! Ray Fox drew.
I don't know.
He's got a special shelf now in the store for him.
Justice League 36. That last one was very interesting. Multiversity, Pax Americana. New Avengers 26 time runs out because thanks for both Avengers books the same week, Marvel. You couldn't spread those out. Okay. Nightcrawler number 8, the only reason I'm pointing that out is I did not receive them this week. Instead of getting my 15 copies of Nightcrawler, I got 15 copies of the Bucky Barnes Winter Soldier Rocket and Groot variant cover. Mm. Very close. Very similar. Similar stories.
Lucky.
Yeah. Yep. Punk Mambo is a new book from Valiant.
Yeah.
No clue.
She, it was a character in Shadow Man.
Okay.
So.
Synergy number 1, another Image number 1. I don't know, that one's ringing a bell. I should look these things up. But the problem is
Okay.
Because I get these lists. It's Wednesday morning, so my...
You're a little busy?
Yeah, a little busy. Spider-Woman number 1. Everybody's been clamoring for this. No, I did not get a Monero variant cover. Sorry. That was a 1 in 50. I don't think Spider-Woman's going to sell 50 copies.
I thought they nixed that all together.
No, I guess they nixed some upcoming ones where supposedly he didn't have enough time to get them done.
But then he just gave up completely.
Yeah.
He spent hours on that butt, so it's...
Teen Titans Earth One hardcover. That's the next in that series. That's Superman and Batman. Yeah, this one's Teen Titans. I tried to let it go.
Some like golden lines.
Some things you can't let go.
To this podcast.
And then Wonder
Woman. A lot of questionable.
Wonder Woman 36, which is the new team of. Was it Meredith and David Finch?
That's the war, or if you like war or something like that. Mm.
War.
I don't know, but it's a new team. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. Sorry.
No, say it again.
Say it, Adam.
That's a podcast.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya.
Faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. All I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America. Winter soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The infinity watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. With my ruby quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build a mansion in Asgard. And fund the Hellfire Society. Studio with Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drift's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616.
Hey yo Vince, drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats. Right? Yeah.
Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these limited children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody
I'll save your kid. I'm Frank with a gun, I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch, eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap, I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes, keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try, that's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like